This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do all last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy. And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or like Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you, too. Peace out.
PFW in Progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
I can't believe I'm talking to Tom Caselli.
All right, neither can I. I'm here. Tom's here. Gary's here. The other two are coming, or what?
Maybe. If you know what you should do, Gary, since Lori's never going to be on this show ever, you should put, you never know, Eric might stop by and come up with some sound bites for that.
You do join Dick for a little while.
We also need to get Katrina Acra on the show.
Yes.
You know, talk to her about
maybe
it.
Christina, too.
Is that her name? Yeah. We should get her on the show.
I like her.
So, Tom, how you doing?
Good.
We're back here with another edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And it's Friday here at Gillette Stadium. And Bill Belichick had his press conference. Locker room was open. So, Tom, why don't you fill us in on what we've missed so far if we haven't been logged on to Patriots.com.
Oh, they're going to kill the Bills, man. This team's loose.
Is that right?
They were loose the first 2 weeks, but today's locker room.
Guys rat-tailing each other with towels and stuff like that.
Today's locker room was the most fun I ever had in there, I think. They had Dante Stallworth and Jabbar Gaffney created this game with a ball of tape. You know, you throw it in the waste paper basket.
Like basketball.
Yeah. And so they actually put a line down now. So they have a line where you have to shoot it from. And Gaffney's the king of it. He's the best. So they play for Gatorade. So he was playing Maroney. Maroney's terrible.
Don't they get all the Gatorade they want for free?
I don't know. They're just fooling around, Fred.
Okay.
And well, they have to go get the Gatorade.
Oh, that's what it is.
So, like, if Gaffney's up five Gatorade, you have to go get him his five.
I got you.
So Maroney's terrible, you know, and Gaffney's just killing everybody. But then a new challenge walked in, Fred. Your boy, Wes Welker.
Well, he's a natural athlete.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Was just draining them. So at one point he shoots and he missed and he goes, oh, I couldn't follow through. And Moss yells out, oh, why don't you lose some mother effing bicep and maybe you can follow through. So they were just laughing it up. I mean, everybody was just like, everyone was around, like, kind of watching. Gaffney was taking on different guys and everyone was fooling around. And Andy made a good point. He thinks some of these new guys have brought a new kind of like atmosphere to the locker room because I just, maybe that they're just not used to the whole, I mean, it's not like they're talking to the media, but when you're around, they just seem looser. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Thomas is always, like, walking around saying something to either a player or a media member, Adalis Thomas. Even Moss, when he walks through the locker room, he'll shout something out to someone from the media. Or it's not like last year where Corey Dillon was threatening to kill people.
Right, right.
It's more of a joking, relaxed atmosphere. I think it's helping this team because they're so businesslike all the time. I think they need this every, you know what I mean? Just have some fun every now and again.
Okay.
They're going to kill the Bills. They'll beat them by 40.
You think so?
Oh, kill.
So they weren't that loose where they would have a letdown?
No, because they've been loose like last week, too, they were loose. And I think it's good because I think when you have a letdown, you're not acting like that. You're kind of like just kind of in a daze type of thing,
right.
You know, and maybe looking ahead to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
But I don't think they are. I think they have a good game plan in. They're focused, and I think they know if they go out and execute it, they're going to win easy.
Okay, so that's the report from the locker room today. Bill Belichick's press conference, I happen to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Some good eye formation, flat back talk.
Yeah.
Bill thinks that the switch from flat back where you have the running back and fullback and halfback kind of lined up across from each other. When they went to the I formation, that kind of really changed football, where you have really one primary runner and the other guy a blocker.
Well, and I asked him, he had mentioned that has changed. And I asked him why, because I would just think, wouldn't it be more dangerous to have a Rocky Blyer and a Franco Harris? Like, say San Diego put Michael Turner at fullback and LaDainian Tomlinson at tailback. Wouldn't that make it more dangerous? So I was just interested to hear why it had changed. Because if you had two options that could run the ball in the backfield, I would feel it would make it harder to defend. But I guess defenses are just so fast now.
Plus, I think it's hard to find those guys. You know, so if you
like he said, it all kind of changes because college changes.
Yeah.
So they don't have those guys anymore. And then,
I remember Bill Parcells saying, you know, football is losing so many of the good athletes to basketball. You know, mm-hmm. it's hard to find the good wide receivers, tight ends, and defensive backfield guys because a lot of them are going to basketball. Now, this was, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. I don't know if that's still the case because it seems to me like there's been a resurgence of good athletes at the safety position, mm-hmm. you know, in football. And maybe because that position's become so much more important now than it used to be. You know, safety was kind of like the last position.
Right.
And now, you know, you're playing run support, you're playing coverage, you know, you're on the field four downs. So
I just find it somewhat interesting, like, if you have a guy like Sammy Morris, okay, who can block and run, why you don't see it more two back sets with Morris and Maroney.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You don't really see that a lot in today's football anymore.
No, it's just the game book doesn't, you know, the playbook doesn't have it in there.
I think there's a lot more short throws in today's football that replaces the running.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of Bill Walsh, obviously, when he came in.
Yeah.
Because the Steelers, they didn't throw, like, a lot of short passes. I mean, they usually either chucked it long or ran the ball, right?
Right. So, who was their tight end back then? Do you remember?
It was Cunningham, 89.
Oh, okay. But you don't. He wasn't like a big part of the.
Oh no,
production.
The tight ends were no.
Yeah,
no.
All right. What else? Raventrone's back.
Yep.
I know you're very excited about.
Big news.
Have you talked to him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing fine. Everything's going well with Ray. So.
Okay.
He's the only guy in the locker room who talks to me.
Wife is settled in.
Yep. Everything's.
Okay. Do they have kids?
No.
No kids.
Just got married last year, I believe.
Oh, okay. So he's back on the team. Anything else? I mean, things are back to normal here.
Yeah. Apparently the NFL destroyed those tapes that they had.
All the spy tapes.
Yeah. So those are gone. No more of that. Back to football. I mean, it's kind of I know anything can happen. It's just kind of a boring week.
I'll give you something a little interesting nugget that people wouldn't know about.
Okay.
But it's a good example of how the NFL works from the league. Got a memo yesterday. As some people might know, I'm involved with the cheerleading squad.
Yes, you are big.
Kind of oversee that,
yeah.
But not really from a day-to-day basis. That's Tracy Schiamonte. But we got a memo from the same Ray Anderson that sent the memo about the videotape, saying that's come to their attention that some of the team's cheerleading squads have been warming up and doing stretching outside the visitors' locker room. And that this
the
is
Redskins.
Well, I don't know who it is.
No, that's what the guys told me.
Oh, really?
The players.
Yeah.
David Givens used to joke about it, that the Redskin girls would bend over in front of them and everything and try to distract them.
Well, that's what this is. This is distracting and inappropriate, and it is to be stopped immediately, and teams will be monitored from this point on as to how their cheerleaders behave.
Wow, that Goodell is really dropping the hammer, huh?
To me, this is absolutely ridiculous, because here's a league that – on the NFL Network, exploits the cheerleaders, you know, all kinds of specials about the cheerleaders. They urge teams to have cheerleading squads. And then, God forbid, the players get distracted.
Well, now let me ask you a question. Did the Patriots win or lose in Washington?
Last time we played there?
Yes.
I think we lost.
You lost, okay. Yeah. So last year in the locker room, when we were talking about who has the hottest cheerleaders, David Givens yells out, Washington by far. Remember when they were stretching in front of us before the game? I couldn't even concentrate on what I was supposed to do. So there you go.
All right.
David Givens agrees with the NFL. No, I'm just saying.
But I still say that too bad. That's his fault for not being, for not concentrating.
No, I know what you're saying. Kind of ridiculous. I thought it was funny because when you said that, I remembered Given saying that they had stretched in front of them. And
you know, but now, if I was a devious person or someone.
Now, have you sent the Patriot cheerleaders over to the visiting locker room to stretch in front
of
them?
No, we don't do that.
Okay.
But, you know, if I was a person looking for a competitive advantage, this memo that just went out, I could find plenty of loopholes to still, you know, achieve the same goal and still not disobey that rule.
Huh?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fred, let's put it to rest right now. it wasn't that big of a deal that they stole the signals, but it was wrong to use the video camera in the manner in which they did. They were penalized. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, so that's it. That's all I'm let's just, you, by saying this stuff, you keep it alive.
But I don't think Belichick was lying or cheating.
But he was wrong to use the video camera.
Yeah, he was proven wrong, but I think that, anyway, all right, let's move on.
If we all agree on that topic, that little thing, then let's stop talking about it. Well, because we agreed he used the video camera.
But why did plenty of people go to court with different viewpoints based on a law, and then one person gets proven right?
Right.
But, you know, it's not like the person who was proven wrong is a bad person. They had a different viewpoint on the law, and they were shown their error of their ways.
You know how smart Bill Belichick is. You've been here for a while, so I'll just leave it at
that. I'm not – he was aggressively – interpreting that law to his favor, and
it
was being too aggressive.
It was stupid to do it, and he cost the team down the road. You don't agree with that?
It's over.
That's what I was saying, but now you keep bringing it up.
It's over.
It's just like, I don't really care that Rodney Harrison bought HGH. Just do it a little bit more intelligently next time, so you don't have your own name floating out there. That's all I'm asking. Just be a little smarter.
Right. All right, webradio@patriots.com. Mike and Sharon's on the phone. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Fred. Excuse me.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm still losing my voice from last Sunday. But anyway,
I don't think the Patriots will change their approach.
But anyway,
what's that, when Paul hit puberty?
Yeah.
That was about 50 years ago.
But anyways, I wanted to talk about Aaron Schobel and why he gives the Patriots offensive line such a hard time. It seems like, you know, we go up against, you know, so many big tackles, and I mean, this guy is always in our backfield, always, every single play, it seems like. How do we attack him?
Well, Mike, I think one of the problems is some players own other players. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, whatever Schobel does, it gives Matt Light problems. Now, you've seen him go up against Sean Merriman a couple times, and the first time he shut him down, and he did a pretty good job yesterday. And I think a lot of people would probably tell you Merriman's a better pass rusher than Schobel. But whatever Schobel does, it bothers him. It's kind of like later on in the year when the Cowboys play the Patriots. Dante Stallworth, for some reason, owns Terrence Newman. Newman cannot cover him. So whatever way Stallworth plays, it bothers him, and I think that just happens throughout the league.
Yeah, Tom's exactly right. There are just certain matchups that, you know, for one reason or another, you feel good about as a player, and you always have the advantage over the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jason Taylor's another guy.
Yeah.
I mean, but he does it to a lot of teams.
Well, now, Schobel's a very good player.
Yeah,
we should mention that he is a very good player.
Right.
But you'll see some weeks where he probably won't touch a quarterback because the guy he's going up against might have his number. It's just he has Matt Light's number for whatever reason, and I don't think there's anything he can really do about it except give him some help out there.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. It just bothers me, you know, that, I mean, we play them twice a year, and you know, Scar's got plenty of tape on the guy, and the fact that Scar can't, you know, figure out some way to help Matt Light and...
Well, it might not be his, you know, that's what I'm saying. It might just be that Matt Light. I mean, I would say since I've been here at least, and maybe overall, other than Jason Taylor, Schobel has hit Tom Brady more than any other player in the NFL. I mean, he is all over him. So
the numbers are ridiculous.
So, I mean, I don't know why it is. I'm sure they know he's coming. I'm sure they try to block him. But I'm sure the Bills do things, too, to try to get him free so he can get one-on-one matchups with Light.
I have a feeling, though, this weekend, Mike, Aaron Schobel will not be as much of a factor as he has in the past.
Is that because of Kyle Brady?
I just think because, the Patriots just have too many weapons now.
Well, that doesn't really have anything to do with
that.
I think because Kyle Brady is here now.
That could be.
Now you got to go up against two tackles. Good luck with that.
Yeah. I don't think the fact that we have more wide receivers or better wide receivers has anything to do with it because, you know, it didn't matter if we were doing quick outs or anything like that. Schobel was in the backfield.
Yeah, that entire Bills line that first game was all over Brady. I mean, Kelsey and
Spikes got hurt. Yeah,
yeah, Denny. They were all over him.
Yeah.
So that was a bad game overall for the Patriots offensive line. But I mean, they played much better in Buffalo. So I think they'll be all right. They played two great games. So we'll have to see how it goes. But I think Brady being here on that line really helps.
All right, Mike, thank you for the call. That's Mike and Sharon. I think Mike has went to every training camp practice this summer.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Good.
I think he was at
the best is when he called you out as John Rook's replacement.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh.
You said, were you at training camp today? I'm sorry about that.
All
so
right.
He was at every training camp, so that means he should work here instead of Paul.
Right. Right. He's been to more than Paul has. Webradio at Patriots.com. Webradio at Patriots.com. Those guys up doing articles, getting the Friday pages
they
done.
They were gabbing like little girls when I came down.
Is that right?
Yeah, gossiping about something.
Oh, boy. It's nothing worse when Paul and Andy get gossipy.
Man, they're like women.
Yeah, they really are. Okay, 508-543-7482. Now, Gary, is Felge coming in today?
I think he's afraid.
Okay, well, Mike Felger might be here for the second hour.
Yeah, he is.
After you handed his hat to him last week.
Well, I don't know about that. People said that he was like a big bully on me. They felt
no,
bad.
That was, I thought that was an evenly matched fight. You guys were really going at each other. Very, very good fight, I thought.
I was going to bring Larry Merchant in today.
Yeah, that's his, you were on top of your game last week, Fred.
Well, I think that, you know, I understand what Mike's doing.
Everything came to a boil for
yeah,
you. You had had it.
You know, he's working for a fledgling radio station. He's trying to get a name for himself. He's kind of like that guy in Quicksand that's going down fast and just screaming
just
and
yelling,
flailing away. That's kind of what he's doing.
Hoping
you know,
someone throws him around.
Yeah, trying to just get attention is what he's doing. I'm, you know, so... I understand what Mike's doing. I still like Mike. I don't, you know, I don't take it personally.
Yeah, he is what he is.
Yeah, loser. All right, webradiopatriots.com.
I know, but Fred, you're going to have to stop with the Mike Felger jokes. He pays me more than you do.
Oh, is that right? Wow. You know, this is getting to bother me. I'm going to read the email. It says this is from Phil, and I don't know if it's Phil and Coffins or Phil and the Coffins, but anyway, he says, how much longer until we should stop talking about Maroney's potential and start referring to him as just a nice little football player? Week 6? Week 10? Longer? I still have faith, but it's beginning to wane. And then I heard today on, I was watching Patriots Today from last night's show, and John Hanna was on. And he was saying that the one thing that he's kind of a little bit still worried about is that they haven't established the running game. I got to disagree with all that. I don't think they've run the ball.
They're fifth in the NFL.
I know.
In rushing offense.
Yeah.
So you know what the problem is, Fred? One guy doesn't have 200 yards.
Yeah.
Because when I do the things at the end of the game, I do the matchup winners. And both times I said they haven't been spectacular in the running game, but they've been efficient in the running game.
Very efficient. And they've been getting some good runs.
But they're not getting 80-yard runs. That's the
right
thing.
Like, but they're getting good push. They're getting right 4 yards a carry. You know, I think when they needed yards, they've gotten yards.
I've been happy with the running game. I mean,
so
I think Maroney still isn't up to speed yet because he was injured. I mean, you hear them talk about Asante Samuel. You
right
hear Bill talk about Asante Samuel saying there's no way he can be where the other guys are. You have to remember now, Maroney didn't practice for most of training camp.
Right.
And he only played in one preseason game. So I think they're getting him up to speed early on in the season.
Yeah.
And they're still cranking out 150 yards a game on the ground.
I like what I see. I'm not buying it.
The thing you have to throw in there, Fred, is they're getting 150 yards on the a game on the ground, and they're throwing for 300.
Right.
So it's not like they're passing for like 120.
Right.
Their big plays are coming in the passing game, and they're chewing up yardage with the run.
Yeah, so I'm not sharing this concern over the running.
Either.
I like what I've seen. I like what I've seen from the offensive line, and I like what I've seen from both Sammy Morris and Maroney. So
and yet,
I'm not buying it.
Last week they played one of the top defensive front sevens in the league with Billy Yates in there. It wasn't
right
even Stephen Neal, and they were pushing them around.
Yeah. So, guys, you know, I think you're just losing the fact that the passing game has been so good that, you know, the carries aren't there, but the yards are.
Let's look at that draft class for a second. A guy on draft day who I said I like better, D'Angelo Williams. That's who I said I would have taken, and I was probably wrong because he hasn't done anything. All right, he hasn't done nothing. Then you take Joseph Addai, who's just a perfect fit for the Colts system. He really is. I really honestly believe if Joseph Addai was here, he wouldn't be doing anything more than Maroney and probably less. I honestly believe that. I just think he's a perfect player for the Colts. So you got a guy in his second year. He ran for 700-some yards last year, missed the final two games of the year, split time with Corey Dillon. Now he's easing his way back in. He's part of a rushing offense that averages about 140-something a game. Where's the problem?
Right. I just don't see it. I think, like you said, they want to see the big break. They want to see 110 yards a game from one guy.
Right, they want to see that 70-yard run.
Yeah.
But you're getting those. It's in the passing game.
Right, right, right. So I,
you know when you're going to start seeing more of those? When teams start adapting now and try to take Moss and the outside receivers away.
Right.
I think this week Maroney has a huge, huge game. Yeah. The Bills can't stop the run. You know they're going to be putting extra guys in to try to defend Moss, and I think they just line up and smash him.
Yep. Let's see, Matt from Oregon. Yesterday I tried to play that Fitzy
Oh, God, that was bad. I forgot to tell Andy that.
Hey,
Chris, if you're up there, tell Paul to tell Andy about that.
I thought it was funny. Anyway, Matt from Oregon agrees with you guys. He said that video is actually one of Fitzy's worst. Check out his recap from the Pats' loss to the AFC Championship last year. Look in his archives for a really good laugh. So, you know, I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. I watched it. I was laughing.
And you didn't even know it was a parody.
No. I thought it was funny. Gary, you didn't like it.
No.
He's on the phone. Who's he on the phone with?
I don't know.
Probably ESPN, you know. Let's see. PJ says, hey, guys, first of all, I have to agree with you on the McNabb situation. We were talking about that yesterday. I think he's being a bit sensitive on the issue, but I do sit in the stands every week, and I do hear things that I cringe at. I don't think he should.
Oh, that I don't doubt, PJ, from fans.
In Philly? Oh,
yeah.
I don't – city of brotherly love?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
And but the thing is, we're talking more about how he's being treated in the media, I think.
Right.
And I just – I don't think there's a lot of racist people in the media who are against him just because he's black. I really don't believe that.
I don't think he should be listening or even caring what a bunch of drunk idiots in the upper deck are saying.
Agreed.
But things are being said, and I feel bad for him for that. Also, supposedly the comments were made before the season even started, so his timing wasn't all that bad. Sticking with the fans, I went to the Colts game last year at Gillette, and I was very disappointed with the noise level, overall atmosphere for a huge game like that. Philly gets a bad rap, but they are loud and passionate at the games, which I think is what home field advantage is all about, despite what Paul may think. As for the Pats game this week, I think Fred's phrase works great for what is going to happen, bogged down. I think it will be very close, but the Pats have too much to lose at home to Buffalo. Finally, thanks, Tom, for trying to find that info from Stallworth about the Eagles trying to keep him. I don't think it was that obvious to keep him, though, because he had so much trouble with his hamstring you couldn't tell whether he'd play or not until the day of the game. When your passing offense gears itself to a player that is always questionable, it makes it tough to have a game plan. The Pats don't have that problem because here, Stallworth is just another cog in the wheel.
Yeah, but the only thing I'll say, PJ, is that the Pats didn't pay that much to get him. So I don't think the Eagles had to really pay a lot for him. He was there for half a year in the system. He probably would have been better the second season. And you really don't have anything else. I was telling Andy downstairs, like my whole argument last year, Fred, about get Brady good receivers and he'll be even better. Now, you can take Manning and Brady, and they can play with guys like Caldwell and still win. McNabb is a good quarterback, but he's not as accurate as those two guys are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
He needs that T.O. type of guy. And you saw what he did with 1 year with a superstar receiver. And I'm not saying Stallworth's that type of guy, but just to put a bunch of guys out there like Hank Baskett with McNabb, I think that's doing him a disservice.
No, but I think what Brady and Manning have that really few quarterbacks in history have had is just the field awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Just when they look out, they're not looking at one guy. They see the total picture.
Right.
You know, and it's things.
Those two.
You know, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird,
yeah.
You know, the great point guards of history, Oscar Robertson. That they just saw everything. And it was just like a total picture rather than, you know, one little thing, one little slice of the court. And that's what Peyton Manning and Tom Brady have.
I think those two are in a class by themselves, but the guy next in line for me would be Carson Palmer. But again, they go out, they get him receivers. You know what I mean? He's got weapons. McNabb has never really had a lot of weapons there. I'd start to get frustrated a little bit if I was him.
Yeah. PJ also says, the whiny guy that Fred said was so funny, this is the video, was the dumbest thing I've ever heard until someone called up and said it was a Britney Spears spoof. So then I realized that it was still the dumbest thing I ever heard. The funniest thing about the clip was when you tried to play it before the break and then said, ah, forget it. That was hilarious. See, I knew that was funny. That's why.
Andy missed the whole thing yesterday.
Yeah.
I love that.
And then he has, finally from PJ, sorry for the emails, but please don't let that moron Felger off the hook for his dog comments about Randy Moss. He got out of it last week because of Tapegate. Make sure he realizes that we as fans know he is lying when he says, I said he is acting like a dog, or however he's trying to spin it. Just like he said about Belichick, he lies in the air, he lies in print, he's a liar. How can players go on with him and talk to him when they know he is nothing but a hater who is trying to get people to mention his name? Hey, Felger, you're an asshat.
Wow. The reason is because the players don't hate guys like that as much as the fans do, I don't think. Do you, Fred?
No, unless they say it about them individually.
Yeah, but even if they say something about them, I think that goes away after. I think players understand that there's certain guys. The media does what it does, you know. Felger's a radio guy now, and he tries to say things to get some attention. And I think, for the most part, players realize that. They kind of just laugh him off, I think. I mean, how dangerous can Mike Felger be? Let's be honest. You know what I mean?
No.
So, and as far as the Randy Moss thing, PJ, I've been battling with him in the last 3 weeks. Monday, Fridays, I'm done. Fred can take up that battle. He's wrong. He knows he's wrong, and he's trying to get out of it.
Let's see. Dermot writes in. He's from the land of Guinness.
Yes, he doesn't like Andy.
And he says, Tom is ace, Andy is poor, Paul is only middling. Paul's in the, you know, he's like Jerry Seinfeld. Everything kind of always comes out even for Paul.
Yeah,
if he loses 20 bucks, he'll find 20 bucks. Everything just comes out all right for Paul. Haven't emailed in a while as I ran out of potatoes for the internet over the summer, but it's been in a bumper harvest, so I should be good from here on in. Now there's a person who can take a joke. Tom, I thought your performance at North Turner's press conference was outstanding.
Oh, thank
they
you.
Showed it on NFL Game Day. But I wonder, did you think at any stage, bloody hell, I hope someone else shows up or it'll be just me and Norv for the next 20 minutes?
Yes, I thought that the whole time because I was on question three and I was thinking to myself, this is pretty much it for me. I don't know what else to ask
him. I can't believe it.
You know what Norv said?
I can't believe I'm talking to Tom Caselli.
I can't believe the head coach comes out for a post-game press conference and one guy shows
up.
It's
the most amazing thing I've ever been a part of since I've been here.
I mean, can you imagine if New England fans were San Diego fans? They'd be like screaming right now. After two games, they'd be calling for his head.
Right. I mean, I was thinking what are the writers there writing about? Belichick?
Right.
They don't care about that.
They did, I guess. And I guess all they cared about was Belichick.
Let me tell you this right now. If I was a Chargers fan, after that freaking performance on Sunday night, I could care less what Bill Belichick did. I wouldn't care one bit.
Right.
I'd want to know why my team, who barely lost to this team a few months ago, was now getting slaughtered by them.
Right.
So,
and the only thing that's changed is the coach.
Right, and the funny thing was, after my three questions, the next two questions were from John Tomasi. So he's another New England guy. Where were the San Diego guys?
Jeez, it's unbelievable. Anyway, Dermot, it continues. In anticipation of the inevitable you are a potato-eating drunk from Ireland comment from Andy, I have to say one thing. Fred, I didn't think you'd be able to hire someone who contributes less to the show than Andy, but then up steps the leg.
I know from experience, dude.
Insight, in-depth analysis, critical appraisal, and objective assessment. None of these are terms that can be applied to the contributions from the man from 1AA. I kid, of course. Good to have you guys back every day. Go Pats, 16-0. So where is Eric? He only comes for Thursdays to do his
picks? I don't know. He wasn't even in the locker room today. I don't know where he is.
Well,
I don't think he works here anymore.
He's busy.
I'm busy. I'm really busy. You don't see me crying.
Let's see. Who's this?
He's
Rachel.
Busy.
Rachel is from Manila, Philippines. Wow. Nice. Rachel, what are you doing out in Manila, Philippines? She says, what's that? I just want to know what
she
said,
a picture or something?
Let's see. I just recently started tuning into your show, I should say. And let me tell you, I am now addicted to you guys. As I am from the Philippines, I don't get the NFL Network, and I only get to see a few NFL games through a local sports channel. Your show is my best source of Patriots news and insight from around the league. Definitely addicting. Well, you know, that's why we do it. She says, anyway, I just want to write you guys to tell you that the Pats have loyal fans even here in Manila. I even had to import Brady's NFL jersey from the States. Probably next in line will be Moss's jersey. He's set to have a monster season, so is the whole team. I'm really excited for all the Pats this season, notwithstanding all the controversy around them. I have been a longtime fan of the Pats, and I really feel this is the season when we get the Lombardi Trophy back again. Anyway, that's it. I just want to tell them that they have fans as far as this region. I hope they push through with the exhibition event in China next year because that's the only time I can probably see them play. I'd love to send you something from the Philippines. If only I could, perhaps in the near future. Well, there's always...
Well, I love Asian women, so you could send me you.
Well, if...
You're not the first woman to get addicted to Tom Casale, Rachel.
If you have a credit card, you can always order Papagino's pizza for us. You know? All right, Gary. Once you get back...
What? Me and Rachel, we got a thing going on here.
Okay. Well, I'll give you her email, and you can correspond.
So, I could be like the Thriller from Manila.
There you go. Lights out in Manila. All right, Gary, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Call or email PFW in progress. Your input is always welcome.
Wrong. Try again, dumbass.
Patriots.com radio.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tac sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. And hot Sac-A-Tac sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it. In case you missed it, there's a few new additions to the PFW family.
Steve says, first, congrats to Annie and Paul for all the procreating.
Thank you.
Craig in Boxborough, congratulations to Paul and Andy on the birth of their children.
Thank you.
Late congrats to Paul and Andy on their additions to the PFW family. Good job, man.
That's right. Paul and Andy's boys can swim.
Josh in South Korea. We would like to congratulate Paul and Andy on their new additions to the families.
Thank you.
Russell from the OC says congrats to Paul and Andy. Congratulations to Paul and Andy on the baby boom.
Andy named his son to honor the greatest Tecmo Bowl athlete of all time. B-b-b-b-bowl.
Dave says congrats to Andy and your son, Jackson Hart.
Thank you.
Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa is writing in. First, sincere congratulations for Paul and Andy.
Thank you.
And Paul's named for the greatest Tecmo player of the PFW staff. Congratulations. Him on the birth of Casale Douchebag Perillo.
Paul liked me so much, he named his son after my entire family.
Way to go, fellas.
Andy in Sioux City, Iowa. He says congrats to the new dads and good luck.
Baby's names have been changed to protect their identity. Tom Casale is not the real father of either baby. If he were, they'd be girls. By the way, Gary got engaged and nobody said a damn thing. A FDIC equal housing lender.
All right. Another good opening from Gary. Gary's been hard at work with his voiceover guy.
Yeah.
So good stuff. All right. Back here at PFW in Progress, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. We're talking emails here. We're awaiting the arrival of perhaps Andy and Paul and maybe Mike Felger, who's going to get another butt-whooping today.
Yep, another butt-whooping.
Because he's just flat-out wrong about everything.
Yeah, I'm sure, and you know what? It's been a while, so I'm sure he's got some new cockamamie theory he's going to throw out there today.
I'm sure. Jeff,
is it possible to have a collapsed lung for a short period of time and then have it not collapse?
Right. In your world, it is possible. Jeff in Bartlett says, greeting Jake Steele and the Justice League. Like most Pats fans, I was sad about losing the first-round pick in next year's draft as a result of Cameragate. Then it came to me. No doubt we will get a supplemental first-round pick instead as compensation for losing the ultra-talented Tully Bannacane to the Niners in free agency. I think he's being funny.
Yeah, I think he'd be lucky to get a seventh.
weren't a lot of emails weeping about letting him get away after he rode the pine in the AFC Championship game last year? Therefore, he must be worth a first-rounder, eh? What other rejects have I forgotten about for more incredible compensation picks? By the way, Gary, please send info about ordering lunch. Wasn't there a different place you guys were fantasizing about getting lunch from as well? Well, you can always order from Luciano's. I don't know if they deliver, though.
Can you just Google Foxborough restaurants and just send whatever you want?
Right. And just have it arrive between 12 and 2, and we're all set. But thank you for the offer, Jeff, and hope you follow through. Let's see. Mike is from Wilmington, Massachusetts, and he's trying to get some perspective. He says, I'm glad to see that there won't be any more shoes to drop based on the reports from the commissioner's office today, but I'm still trying to get a handle on level of cheating that the team is guilty of. From the tape that I saw on Fox, it looks like that information could be gathered from somewhere else in the stadium and be fully in compliance with league rules. If that's not the case and gathering this is against the rules, period, then it's the equivalent of cheating at cards and the punishment is well deserved. Head should roll. But if you can gather this information somehow within the rules, then this is a parking ticket type offense and it's way overblown.
See, I think you're totally off base there. You can gather it, so why do what they did? Well, see, that's the thing. I don't agree with that argument at all, because since you can do it another way, do it that way. Why do it the way you have to do it and then get in trouble? I think you cost yourself a first-round draft pick for no reason.
But that's the question I had from the beginning. Why did they have to do it that
way? I don't know. I've been saying it all along, Fred. If they got caught with a guy in the stands doing it, I would have had more sympathy and respect for him, because I would have said, boy, that's pretty smart. But having a guy on the sidelines pointing a camera at the defensive coaches, to me, that's stupid.
Let's see. DG writes in. He says, guys, things have been going out of control around here. We started with HGH, then we had Spygate, and all that after Fred destroyed relations with China.
Yep.
And Andy driving a wedge between Ireland and Patriots Nation. I like to think of the glasses being half full, but this baby has no bottom. All joking aside, how long do you think a thing like Spygate will linger in Foxborough? Do you think it will tarnish the image of the Patriots forever? I would hate to see all that hard work and those championships be looked at as stolen goods.
Well, I don't think, like, in the media it's going to. But I think fan-wise, you're always going to be able to say they cheated. They're always going to, like Andy said, they're always going to be a punchline now to people who don't like them.
Right.
Like, if you have friends, they're always going to say, well, if we were getting the defensive signals, we would have won a Super Bowl too. Stuff like that. If they don't find anything else and this is it, I think it dies down,
you know,
and goes
and,
away.
And like you said, you know, we talked about the 49ers cheated on the salary cap, and, you know, they had some
badly.
Great teams, but I don't think fans care as much about that.
No, they
you know?
Don't. Because they don't really understand
exactly,
it as much.
Exactly. But it's just as much cheating.
Yes, and people talk about the Broncos. The Broncos were a minor infraction compared to what the 49ers did. If you go back and look at that 49ers team, I know because they stopped the Cowboys from winning three Super Bowls, they signed every possible free agent. Tim Harris, Deion Sanders, the linebacker from the defensive end there from Minnesota. Dolman was his name? Was that his name?
Chris Dolman.
Chris Dolman, I think, yeah. Was on there. Anybody they could get their hands on. I just thought to myself, what's going on here? And then we heard the remember, Fred, they knew how to work the cap
right,
better than anybody
capologists.
Else. Yeah, the capologists. Well, no, they were just cheating.
Right.
So I think if you're going to – that was a major cheating offense, I think. And if that had happened today, I think there would be more backlash against it.
Right. But we look back at those as great teams.
No one ever mentions it.
Right. So maybe there's hope there. As far as the game goes, I won't make a prediction because that is the kiss of death. I've caused more upsets than a hot pepper eating contest. I do, however, think that this Patriots team is loaded for Bear and Buffalo as well. Is there any realistic way we don't get the win?
No.
No.
They would have to play. You're talking five turnovers, you know, just a
major injury.
Just a huge, huge, you know, letdown for the Patriots.
P.S. to Eric Mangina. I can't wait till the second meeting when after the game, instead of the usual half a handshake, you get a blood eagle instead. It's a Viking thing that to say the least would be fitting. What? It's a Viking thing. But what is it, though? What's a blood eagle? Do you know?
I don't know, but I know they're going to get a butt whooping. I know what that is.
I'd like to see him. I'd like to see Bill Belichick go out with a double-edged axe and just split his head open.
No, you know what he's going to do, Fred?
What?
They're going to be up 45-7, and in the fourth quarter, he's going to be calling timeouts so he can kick a field goal with 10 seconds left. That's what's going to happen.
Okay. All right.
When's that game? When's the Jet game? It's before Christmas, right?
I thought it was like December.
It's December
10th?
Something. Listen, Al, I don't usually do this. I don't give out specific. But if you want to make your Christmas, put that on the Patriots, baby, because they're going to kill the Jets the second time they play. They're going to kill them.
I'll tell you exactly when the game is. The Jets game is December 16th.
Merry Christmas.
December 16th. A blood eagle. Gary has looked up a blood eagle. A blood eagle was reportedly a method of torture and execution that is sometimes mentioned in Norse saga literature. It was performed by cutting the ribs of the victim by the spine, breaking the ribs so they resemble blood-stained wings, and pulling the lungs out. Salt was sprinkled in the wounds.
Oh, that's great.
Victims of the method of execution, as mentioned in skaldic poetry and the Norse sagas, are believed to have included, and he goes down the list of kings that were tortured this way. I love it. I like it.
I'll tell you what. Don't mess with those Vikings. They knew how to take care of people down there. I like that method. And speaking of torture, we have Craig on the line from South Carolina.
Craig, how you doing?
Well, there's apparently a lot of love in that room, huh? How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Just a quick question, and then I have a note about the game. So are you guys fairly confident that with the NFL having destroyed whatever additional tapes, files, and notes, that there's nothing else to come of you know, what's occurred?
I think it's over. Finally, okay. It's over.
Cool. That'll work. One thing I wanted to point out, you know, how good the teams were that we played against, how good their defenses were, you know, that's going to be largely dictated by, you know, how they handle themselves in the next couple of games. But I was looking at the stats for the Bills, and their defense is just horrible. I mean, you look at the Pats. Our defense have played 108 plays from scrimmage. They've played 140. Right now, they're ranked 31st in the league. They're allowing 52% completion on third down. I mean, they're just terrible, and they're allowing almost 180 yards rushing. Do you guys see any way possible that Maroney doesn't get 100 yards this game?
No,
only if he just doesn't get the carries.
I think he's going to have a big game.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have 4.3 yards per carry, so it's just a matter of number of
carries. To me, this is one of those games where Brady's going to throw for like 230 and be efficient, and they're just going to run the ball all day because they're going to get a lead. They'll probably get a defensive, you know, a big turnover, have a short field, that type of thing. So I don't think the passing numbers will be as big as the running numbers this week.
How is, Craig, I don't know if you have the stats in front of you, but how is the Bills' red zone defense?
It's good.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing you might be able to, because Denver was going up and down the field on them, but they didn't score a lot of points.
So was Pittsburgh. The first half, they had 9 points, and they were just going up and down.
Right,
the
but
Bills
they couldn't
just kept
get
punting.
In. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the page I'm looking at doesn't have that on there. Matter of fact, I don't know if there is a place on NFL.com that has that broken down.
Red zone defense? Well, I know they're pretty good at that, and as you know, so far this season. And we'll see what happens with the Patriots getting into the red zone. But, you know, this year, I don't think they're going to be scoring as many touchdowns as they did last year, you know, from short runs, you know, from in the red zone. I think they can strike from anywhere now, and so you're not going to see the need to have as good a red zone offense. But it'll be interesting to see what happens down there. And plus, we were talking about yesterday, what happens with the Patriots' red zone defense. You know, they've allowed some touchdowns so far, the percentages against them, you know, when other teams get in the red zone. So we'll see if they can improve on that.
Well, I think they definitely will, because I think in the matchup between RD and their offense, I mean, you know, they don't stand a chance. To be honest with you, when the question was asked a minute ago, you know, is there what possible ways might we lose this game? And you guys mentioned turnovers. I just wanted to point out that they are pretty good on special teams.
They're very good on special teams.
So, you know, that's one thing. I mean, the question, you know, are we going to punt to Roscoe Parrish, or, you know, we're going to be angling for the sideline?
Well, how many kick returns are they going to get? Six? You know what I mean? Like, even if they got, like, a touchdown on special teams, they're going to need more than that.
Oh,
you can't
yeah.
score 7 points and beat the Patriots.
With our offense against their defense, if we chose to, we could probably put 60 on them.
It looks that way. I hope you're right. All right, Craig. Craig's from South Carolina. Thanks for the call. Craig's one of our longtime listeners and frequent callers.
Many-time callers.
Yes. let's see. Webradio@patriots.com is email address. Mark with a C from New Hampshire writes in, quick question. Why do you guys think Lawrence Maroney is not that impressive? He had a 5.0 average for the Chargers game. I think I would rather have a more running back by committee and keep both of them fresh all game. The reason I think that is, what if Maroney was the full-time back? He gets hurt, then you have to rely on Morris to carry the whole load. If you have two of them, it's less of a chance that they're going to get hurt and for them to wear down at the end of the season. Whoa. Also, I watched the PFW show on TV. Tom really is a god.
There you go. Thanks, Mark. Well, I think it's how good your guy is. You could say, well, why doesn't San Diego give Turner carries to keep LT? Well, LT's just better. That's the way it is. So I think if Maroney's that kind of back, you give him the carries. Now, I don't think any of us said he didn't look impressive. I said, I think we were saying the one concern we still have with him is he dances now and then in the backfield a little bit, and he has to stop doing that. But other than that, you're right. He's been okay.
I mean, we started the show by talking, you know, with, you know, like I even heard John Hanna say it. I like what I've seen out of the running game, and when they've had to run, they've run well, and they just haven't had the need so far this season. But the offensive line looks good. I think Maroney looks good, and I think Sammy Morris looks good. So until further notice, I think the running game is here. Steve from London, and that's in the old England, he says. Do you think this is the week that we will see Kelly Washington catch a football?
No.
He always seems to be there for post-game locker room quotes, but he has not done anything. But is that his fault?
They don't need him. You know, what are you going to do, put Moss on the bench?
Right, it's not his fault.
No, I think he's doing what they want him to do. He's blocking in the running game. He's playing special teams. You know, he's not one of your top two or three receivers, so I wouldn't be too hard on him. I don't think he's getting many opportunities to catch the ball.
Right. Do you think this is the week that we'll see if Asante Samuel will catch a football? Last year he had 10 interceptions and was being talked about alongside Champ Bailey. He needs to start making interceptions if he wants to exceed the franchise tag offer in free agency. You know, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Don't make the mistake of saying if Asante Samuel doesn't have 10 interceptions this year, he didn't have a good season. You know, he could have 4 interceptions this year and possibly have a better season than he had last year.
He doesn't need interceptions to go to free agency. It's based on snaps or team wins.
Right.
It's 12 or more wins or 65% of the snaps. So it's not based on interceptions. And listen, I don't care how many interceptions he has. Put him on the market right now. See how much money he gets. He'd get a ton.
Right. And also, Steve says, is it just me that thinks Adam Schefter has got one of those faces you want to slap? I used to like reading some of his stuff on NFL.com, but in recent weeks I've been watching a podcast of NFL Total Access, and I just think he has one of those smug faces that makes you want to slap his face.
Well, word around is that he is a little smug. I don't really
know. Is he really?
That's what Andy said, that's what the scuttlebutt is.
Andy's plugged into that?
Yeah, you know Andy. He's got it all.
The gossiping media
people. He's tough to work with.
The media on media crime.
Yeah.
Let's see. Eric from Manchester. He wants to know from you, Tom, OU versus Tulsa tonight. What's your prediction?
I don't like it, but if I had to say, I would say Tulsa.
The line's 21. Some say Tulsa is this year's Boise State, very good offense, and beat BYU last week 51-45.
Yeah, I would take the points if I had to, but it's not a game I'm thrilled about.
Let's see. Strippers from New Hampshire. Jersey for the game at Miami, he says. The only Pats jersey I have is Dylan. I booked my flight to Dolphins game October 21st. Do I buy a new jersey or do I stick with the retired Dylan? P.S. If you boys are hitting the strip clubs, let me know.
Well, Fred would like to buy you to buy a new jersey. It generates more revenue.
Welker. Get a Welker jersey. You know, or Sammy Morris and wear it down to Miami. You know, rub it in. Rub it in a little bit.
Flanders has cooties.
What are you going to do with that jersey after that game?
I don't know.
Don't get me wrong. I like Sammy Morris, but I don't know how far that jersey is going to go.
True or false, Belichick has backup copies of all the stuff he sent to Goodell.
True.
Oh, now, that would not be in compliance with the NFL.
Neither would having a camera on the sideline.
You know, this is a new Patriots. What's that? What, Andy's here. How you doing, Andy?
Where's the fat guy?
Great. The fat guy's getting a hot dog to get fatter.
Oh, they got hot dogs out there?
Yes.
Andy, did Paul tell you about the Fitzy thing he played yesterday? Did you see the thing Fitzy made? The crowd?
Oh, yeah, when the microphone broke or
he
something.
Was laughing so hard, and it was the dumbest
thing.
The
least funny thing in the history of
and he goes,
funny things.
He goes, wait till the fans chime in. They all chimed in, hated it.
So it's up there with what's that stupid movie that he loves?
Oh, The Life Aquatic.
Oh, yeah.
God, was that bad.
It was the Web Aquatic. See my new chair, Fred?
What's that?
You see my new chair?
It's not a new chair. I switched chairs.
So you've always been taller
than
everyone?
No, that one, you broke that one because of your fat butt. So now that one was roaming around, and I was sick of sitting in it.
I'm like 6 inches taller than everyone now. It's my dream in life.
Well, Andy, while you're here, why don't you help Salton Orlando? He has a question. Does Maroney have a 4 or 5 year contract?
I would assume 5. If not, when was he drafted? Yeah, 5 year deal. Wouldn't have been a four.
5 year deal? Okay.
First round is 5 or 6.
All right.
By rule now, and it used to be, if you're a Patriot, 6.
Yeah, I'd say 5.
Paul's here. How you doing, Paul? Paul was on
the... Yeah, he can't respond.
Just took the full
right
12
now.
Over there.
Wow.
Contrarian man with no hair.
Stripper says, while we're in Miami, if you want to hit the strip bars, give him a call. He'll... Apparently, this guy is
when it comes to porn.
From
do you know any of those porn stars that you give us? And by the way, I can't get into that one site. Email,
and by the
password.
Way, I just had a credit card stolen. Does that have anything to do with me logging into your sites? It's at BJ's yesterday, and all of a sudden they're like, sir, you're going to need verification, and then somebody in Europe's charging stuff on my credit card.
Is that right? Really?
Yeah. It's not that $30,000 one, is
they're
it?
They're using Skype?
Yes. Oh, my God.
But so far, they've declined all the purchases somehow.
I don't know anything about it.
No,
well, the first thing I thought, I was like, well, what have I been doing weird lately? And I'm like, ooh, I went to those websites.
So is that true, though, somebody's been charging? What
in
have they
Europe.
Been buying?
I don't know. One was phone
HGH.
Services and or phones.
Really?
At the order.uk.something.
So it was Skype.
S-K-Y.
Could be.
Yeah, probably Skype.
But they canceled the card.
So you guys have been on those sites that...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That our friend in New Hampshire.
Tom's like, oh, yeah.
You could spend your whole life on those sites and not watch every video.
I'm lying to you. I went on to.
Yeah. Right now, I'm halfway through one of the movies. Got a pretty good plot.
All right. Jay's from the UK says, just wondering how
Jay,
big.
Jay, have you been using my credit card?
How big Moss actually is in the locker room when you guys see him. I remember when he caught his first TD against San Diego on Sunday that I said to my friend, God. Ben Watson's got me 2 TDs already. Huh?
He's not half the size of Ben Watson. He's
not
skinny.
Half. He's not.
He's a rail.
Like I said,
but he's taller.
Oh, yeah.
Little taller.
Oh, he's taller.
He's
but like I said today, Andy, I said the story where he told Wes Welker, you know, lose some of that mother effing bicep. And I think Moss was saying you could be a pole like me and still be great.
Because Welker, his arms aren't that big.
No, but they're bigger than Moss's.
Right, but they're just normal-sized arms.
I'm going to guess, Charles Haley said he's never lifted a weight in his life, he just has talent. I'm going to guess that that's what Moss is. he probably picks up like the 20-pound weights and curls them every now and then when Belichick walks by and then just goes and sits down.
1,001, 1,002.
See, I tried that. I just didn't have the immense ability to go along with it.
He just has that thing that only a few people have.
Right.
I like this chair. I like looking down on you. A
couple over-unders for Sunday's games. You guys ready?
Over.
Brady throws 1.5 TDs. Over.
Over.
Over. Maroney rushes for 1.5 TDs.
Under.
Under.
Under. Moss catches 1.5 TDs.
Under.
Under.
Under. Super sack master Mike Vrabel gets 1.5 sacks.
Under.
Over.
Over.
Over. Okay. Losman has a tough day.
He's going to have five sacks.
He always
has
a tough day against the Patriots.
Well, no, I figure that the Patriots are going to get six sacks, so I just all attribute two of them to Vrabel.
Paul's going
to
take over while I go get a hot dog.
Why am I going to take over?
Because you're the second in charge.
Because poop rolls downhill. And you're slightly below Fred.
Did you ever see anything like that in your life?
Fred will be back after this short timeout.
I need to go pooping.
Hey, Freddie, while we're young.
Hey, hurry up in there. Jesus. You in there?
Patriots.com radio.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile Hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, DeMoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. I'm into these.
You already swallowed one whole.
Gridiron Grillers.
Holy Christ.
You can get Gridiron Grillers at your local Shaw's.
But we don't advise you eat them like Fred Kirsch does, because you will need the Heimlich.
Size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of
what? You inhaled the first one.
Right, oh, like you would?
No.
Oh, you're such a petite little eater.
No, they give me, you know.
You really are unbelievable.
What?
You don't think you'd have 1.5 done by now?
No.
Same as Fred.
I've seen you at the buffet line, okay? This is terrible.
I've seen him here on Wednesdays.
You're on your third plate. This is terrible.
I've seen him here on Wednesdays with the pizza.
Went in as a hot dog and came out as orange fire water.
Potato salad is excellent.
Freddie,
burgers are cooked good.
This cheesecake tastes a little funny.
Freddie, yeah. I got lobster tonight.
Where?
My house.
Really?
That just goes to show what kind of fraud he is. He's bragging about it.
It's a great point, Tom.
Sits on here, talks about how lobster is the most overrated food ever.
Well, that's why I'm bragging. It makes me feel rich.
Is it a Rhode Island lobster?
What?
Does it have a cigarette in the claw?
Did I miss something?
Yeah. Steve Buckley, every time they talk about lobster, he says, you know how you can tell the difference between a Maine lobster and a Rhode Island lobster? The Rhode Island lobster has a cigarette in the claw.
Okay.
It's the worst joke of all time. He says it every single
that
time.
That makes no sense.
Very funny.
That's worse than my Fitzy video.
No, these are...
Well, first of all...
Straight off the coast of Dartmouth.
There ain't nothing worse than that Fitzy video. And now that I've seen the Britney Spears spoof, or whatever, the clip of the Britney Spears thing, the spoof isn't even funny.
I thought it was pretty funny. I laughed.
You have a questionable sense of humor.
The funny thing is, Andy, is you didn't even know it was a parody. He just thought the thing was funny.
I admit that. I thought it was funny.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, a lot of people think this guy's funny because he's very popular.
Well, saying the guy was funny, but that wasn't funny.
And I'm not saying, I don't know. I don't know anything about the guy himself. But we were wondering what the Patriots fans were going to think. And I'll tell you, Fred, it wasn't pretty. You saw all the responses.
Now, that other thing we saw was funny.
They didn't think it was funny.
Where did we see that? That one with the clip of the how they were cheating.
Yeah,
the voices
Eric
the
sent
top.
Me that. I heard the first part. I just didn't feel
that
like sitting
funny.
Through the whole thing.
That made me laugh.
That was a joke, too. That wasn't meant to be taken seriously either.
Sort of.
As Fred, continues to mow his second hot dog.
I'm hungry.
I know. I'm going to get another one.
Also on the air.
Pat from Minnesota says, I don't think this will be a huge problem, but I will keep an eye on it this game. If the Bills do clamp down on us in the red zone and we can't score touchdowns, that puts our field goal unit on front stage. Hasn't been a strength of ours so far. How big of a concern is this for you?
Well, we can't answer that. Eric's not here.
Right, but we were talking about this yesterday, Andy. No one thinks it's a huge, huge concern, but I think it's a little bit bigger because we've seen it all the way back from training camp. As soon as training camp started, this guy hasn't been right. He struggled in the preseason, and now he struggled early in the regular season. So I think you just have to conclude something's not right here.
Right. He's in a slump.
Well, that was the expert analysis we got from the leg. But do you worry about what's the Patriots' offense so far, red zone-wise?
We were just asking that.
I haven't really...
Not up to Josh McDaniel's standards.
Because I know McDaniel's talked about it a lot, when he just briefed the press a little while ago when Andy was there. And he mentioned... Well, it's just because you told me. I just said why I knew. And I don't understand. I didn't really think of it as being really an issue at all.
Well, let's be honest. I mean,
they've scored so much.
He can't say we're great, so he needs to nitpick for some things that haven't been great. And I'm guessing that's what he picked.
But I'm guessing there are some things that legitimately haven't been great.
He can't come out and say, let's be honest, 38 points both weeks, we're killing people, we're fine.
See, I wish he could. That's the kind of world I want to live
but
in.
But that's you can't do that.
Yeah, this isn't college. It's not homecoming.
Just saying, I think that's the kind of world I want to live in, when a coach can just say what he thinks.
He said his quarterback has left plays on the field. The guy's completing 80% of his passes.
He said the quarterback?
I believe he brought it up. If not, it was definitely posed to him. And he said,
I'm surprised by
you
that.
Said plays on the field. How many has Tom left out there? More than two? With a smile, and he goes, well, I don't have an exact number, but it's definitely more than two. So.
That's amazing.
Now, is this going to be...
That's got to be like he completed a 15-yard pass and could have had a 40-yarder.
Right, the 40-yarder was open for the score.
Now, is this going to be an every Friday occurrence where they bring out a coordinator?
One or the other, every other week, yeah.
And how many people were at this press conference today?
Yeah, it wasn't. First of all, it was in the hallway.
Yeah,
it was just out.
They don't
hallway.
Even have it at the podium.
I'm going to say 10 people, something like that.
Oh, 10. Okay.
Why?
I was going to say if there were like two or three people, I don't want to ever hear the media saying, "Oh, you got to give access to these guys," because when they do, they don't show up.
PFW.
No, there were people there.
Well, first of all,
and they purposely do it on Friday when there's a lot less media here.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody really knows.
They don't. You guys know.
Because Stacey James said. Now, Josh McDaniels is going to be in the hallway in about 10 minutes.
No, but they've been bringing him out every week, right?
Well, this is the first week.
The first for offense. They did P's last week.
Right.
So right. It takes at least two to be a trend. I mean, maybe we'll get a few more next Friday because people will go, oh, they do the coordinators on Friday. But
plus,
they clearly do it at a time when it's
this is one of those things, Fred. I don't have any problems with how they handle the assistants and the coordinators and stuff, but It's one of those things that you like to talk about where they comply with the rules strictly by the letter of the law.
Exactly.
They know that no one's here on Fridays. They know they really don't give any value to have anybody available on Fridays because people are doing their advances. So there's really no reason for someone to rush in to be here and talk to these guys on a Friday. And they know that, and that's why they make them available on Friday. And therefore, you end up with Globe, Herald, Projo, and us.
That's good. All right. Aaron from Toledo. I may be wrong, but isn't Terrence McGee a super returner? And if I am correct, he is done for the season. Is he?
He's a super returner who is not done for the season.
So I guess even the Bills' special teams aren't that good.
He's an outstanding kickoff returner, and he'll be playing this week. He must be confusing him with Justin Miller from the Jets.
Right. Let's see. Also, who do you believe should be getting the bulk of playing time at right tackle? I'm a big Ryan O'Callaghan fan, but it
so
seems...
So is everybody else.
But it seems as if Kazier is on the field a lot more. Also, do you believe it is possible...
or every play.
Right. Is it possible that the Patriots are just saving Maroney for the playoffs the latter part of the season, just like they did with Antoine Smith in 2003? Great show, and hopefully one day you will fire Eric.
Hopefully. So. I don't think you save your running back in week two for week 20. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, now if they can successfully monitor some of the carries, some of the hits, because we all said coming in one of the biggest questions on offense was...
I don't think Bill's saying, boy, in week 16 we need Maroney. I mean, he's just playing it week to week, as he would say, and... For some reason, Ryan O'Callaghan is the most popular guy in the locker room ever.
His mouthpiece.
Reporters just stand around him and talk with him. The three of us have no idea what we're missing because we're just like, why do people like him so?
Plus, as I said, I think he's gone in a year. Based on the fact that he doesn't play and he talks a lot.
And I mean,
not usually the best scenario for a player to
speak. I am by no means an expert when it comes to offensive line play, really.
Well, I am.
But I think Kazier is... far better as a player. I think that he combines the strength in for the power game that you see on the right side a lot with a little bit more athleticism and the ability to get on the edge. And O'Callaghan in the preseason especially, I thought, really was exposed by some guys that just ran around him.
Well, that's what people do. I think he probably does have the more power that everybody gives him.
He's a road grader kind of guy. But
you got to be able to do both. You know, Tom Brady's pretty important back there.
Now, I mean... Again, I'm not an expert on offensive line play, but from what I've seen, when Kazier has been healthy, he seems to be the better player of the two in my mind.
Hey, Gary, can you send Tom Dion a link to the Fitzy site?
Oh, God.
He wants a link.
YouTube, enter Belichick.
No, but he actually has a site.
What?
He has a website.
Do you have like some sort of financial stake in this?
I know your hands and fitsies.
I know you were
trying
to help out an emailer here.
I know you were supposed to be the agent for Andy and Tom, but are you also the agent for Fitzy?
In that
How's that going
Keep
for
doing
you?
Crap
not doing well.
You haven't get any. I got you on BCN.
No, you didn't.
Yeah,
we've been on BCN.
I know
for 5 years.
I got you on there.
Thanks.
Yes. Thanks.
Who's on this week?
Me.
You. 11 o'clock.
Is that what it was?
Is this your first home game?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I got to find out how to get out there.
Yeah.
Tom might have to come with me.
How's BCN this year without Ron Borges?
Not
different.
Not as good.
No?
Lost a key dynamic.
I'll bet it's just different, yeah. It's a whole different dynamic.
Thanks, babe. Hang around for
I hear a lot of yelling, but I don't know. You know, Zolak and...
But it's not as fun.
The big guy.
Whether you hated Borges or loved him, it was fun.
He's fun to listen to.
Right.
Zolak. Even if he's being stupid, it's just... I don't know. You know he's a moron.
Right.
And Gary Tang was the host. Now... Someone was asking me yesterday, Paul, who runs the EEI show now that Doug Brown's gone?
Greg Dickerson.
Greg Dickerson is the host.
Yes.
So it's you, Greg Dickerson, and Steve Nelson?
And Tom Curran.
Full-time? Or he doesn't
Not full-time. Well, he's on home games, he's going to be with us.
Oh, okay.
But he's not quite full-time. He doesn't spend the whole show.
I'm just trying to update our fans.
I thought you wanted
Andy's
to.
Sounds like the Andy's fans mad know because more we're talking you. About.
No.
Pretty sure most fans have listened to the show already and know who was hosting.
What do you think of the Manny Lawson injury? That's huge for
Yeah, yeah. That's a bad injury for the Niners.
Yeah.
It's too bad, Tom.
My 49ers prediction took a hit with that.
But on the pro side, Fred, your draft pick rising.
Who, Pulsalusny?
Oh, God.
No, the 49ers.
What draft pick do the Patriots actually have in the first round?
Oh, you
round?
Mean the Patriots draft pick? Yes, the 49ers pick.
and
hopefully they're going to – that's the one that might turn out better than their own, and that's the one that they get to keep.
Right.
So
read an email. This is the worst show I've ever been on.
Phil from Annapolis, Maryland says, Morris ran a bit. Maroney came in and did much better. Do you think or observe him getting coached up as he watched Sam run the ball? I found Maroney running much better when he got his second go-around. I'm with you guys. The running game is fine. What do you guys think?
I think the running
game's
fine.
I think the running game in both games has been much more effective in the fourth quarter when the game's been over, and they've really salted it away. And I think But I think their best work, I'm not saying it was bad. I think the running game's been fine.
Poopy pants.
Not at all. Not at all. I think the running game's been fine. I think their best work has been late in the game.
Yes.
And I think that's
in
when
the
you.
The 4-minute drill.
That's when you want to run the ball.
Start
yes.
Using that all the time.
The 4-minute offense.
Never heard that before in my life.
You've never heard of the 4-minute offense?
Nope. McDaniels,
I thought you
expanded,
were, I thought you were Mr.
It to
Football.
6 and 8. You know, we're in those 4, 6, and 8 minute situations.
I thought you were Mr. Football at Tufts.
I never heard that before in my life. Anywhere, high school, college, TV, radio.
First of all, I was never in a position to be salting away any kind of victories during my high school career. But I never heard that term in high school anyway.
I never heard it. Fred, have you heard it?
What's that?
It's a pro. Belichick talks about it frequently. I'm surprised.
No, he doesn't. There's no way he said it frequently. There's a lot of things he says frequently, like hardworking, but
like hardworking 4 times today during the James Sanders answer.
But I've never heard him say 4 minutes.
I have heard. I'm really surprised. I think you're just having a brain cramp.
Never heard him say what?
4 minutes.
Like in 4 minute situations. You know, when you have the lead and you have the ball at the
end
of the
game.
I've
never heard that.
Thank you, Fred.
I've never heard that.
That's not one on your side. Just
I'll take my boss, the best boss in the world, anytime.
Is this how I align myself with Belichick when it's convenient?
Fred, you're a smart man.
Finally, I love the dynamic you guys have together. Jake, Fred, Frank Steele, Andy, the lollipop man. Paul,
what does that mean? I suck?
Paul.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Paul, let me lick the sauce off your fingers. And
whoa,
the new addition of Scrappy.
Does that mean you're gay?
I don't really get any of that, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Let's not forget the man, Tommy C. I feel the same way
does
as you
you're
do,
a woman?
Tom. Most people are fat in the bodies and fat in the head. Great show. What does that mean?
I don't like fat people. Maybe he means that.
You don't like fat people?
I hate fat people.
Really?
Like, I'm not talking
why
about...
you and Paul tend to...
No, I'm not talking about Paul. I'm talking about those disgusting fat people, like I'm the Biggest Loser.
I hate
those fat slobs. Like, how'd you get to be 450 pounds? Have some freaking self-control.
It's funny. Right now, there's a commercial on TV. Sizes up to 10XL they're selling. On
from the king of restraint over there.
No, I'm just saying, though. Come on. At some point, you got to say... Enough's enough here.
I'll tell you what I don't like. When they put those people on TV and they tell their whole story and they make it sound like it's this, you know, tragedy.
Right, that's why
that
I don't like
of,
them.
That kind of
oh, that show. Remember that show we saw where the guy ate
the guy couldn't get out of bed,
calories,
lowered a bucket down for his fast food out the window?
Now, it's one thing that, you know, okay, everybody has their problems in life or whatever, but let's not paint it out to be a tragedy.
Right,
you know?
That's exactly why I don't like him. It's like when the people die on the motorcycles.
Gary's
like,
just
like
looking
my
in there
did.
Like, what are they talking about?
We're going to teach that fat bastard a lesson.
No, like my friend died on a motorcycle because he was an idiot. Deserved to die. It's not a tragedy. He's
I
dead.
I agree. Those guys that weave in and out of traffic. What the hell is this crap? What is this?
He was such a failure up in Cleveland.
Oh.
The franchise folded up and left the town.
It sucks. So you're playing it twice?
I never said Tom Brady was a hero. Because I remember. Michigan.
Executive producer Gary Radecki has nothing to do with this.
To Brian Greasy, except for garbage time when he got in. So wasn't it a little shady when this quarterback named Brady suddenly became a megastar?
Anyway, that's another...
Oh, wait, you just realized this one was negative and says they're cheating, so you pulled it away?
It's just too
long.
I see
how that works.
It's too long. It's called...
They got to the point where Brady
makes
this miraculous jump.
Anything's possible with Commander Cuckoo Bananas in charge.
It's called Shady Brady and Belichick. It's on YouTube.
Is this that Fitzy guy?
No, this is a singer-songwriter and Bengals fan who wrote this.
And you played it.
Oh, my God. What the f*** is this?
Oh, there's a song, Why the Cowboys Stink.
Okay.
You ever hear
cares?
That one?
No, I missed out on that
this
one.
This is stop literally playing. The worst show we've ever done.
Why?
Because of you.
There's no other way to say it, Fred. I'm sorry.
By the way, Stripper.
Do you have stock options or something?
Like, what is going on over.
By the way, Stripper has just sent us passwords for like every
site under
the sun.
Thank you so much. Forward those to me.
I get creepier by the day thanks to that guy.
You really like those sites, huh?
Oh, I love them.
Are you home alone a lot?
No, that's the problem. When Allison used to be waitressing part-time, I could have used these sites a lot more often. Now I can't get rid of her. She's all over me.
She's all over.
Eric needs some fantasy
I
help.
I want her to get away so I can get to the porn.
Eric needs some fantasy help. Welker or Sean McDonald versus Philly?
Welker. McDonald's played pretty well, though. That's a tough one.
Yeah, Welker's going to get his 6 for 60.
Yeah. Go with Welker.
Cheap touchdown.
Okay.
Did you forward those to me?
Well, it's on web radio. I will.
Okay, Gary's going
to. Gary's efforting that.
Well, are they just the same password? Should I just try my usual password and log in at every site on the internet? Does this guy run the porn industry on the internet?
In fact, he's just sent us a master password and username for all the sites.
We really
this guy's
are.
Great.
We now have VIP logins for.
I tell
every
you what,
site.
We might have to meet up with this dude in Miami. I got to see what this guy's made of.
He said we can all share it. It's one.
Yeah,
that
but when he sees us, he might pull them back and say those losers.
Now he loves us.
A little worried about that.
There's a lot.
Wait
of money.
Until Otis sees us. He loves us.
There's a lot of money to be made in that business.
OTIS.
You know.
Not if you give away passwords as much as he does.
OTIS Missouri.
All right, web radio.
Brian, have you run out of emails?
What?
Have you run out of emails?
I mean, I have a few, but
what's
I don't,
going
how about
on
the
there?
Fact that Fred Kirsch, there's a lot of money to be made in that industry. Who are you, Larry Flint?
Larry Flint did well for himself until he got shot.
Well, and he's done well since.
Right.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to end up like him, you know. I see Felger lurking around. He went back
out in the hall.
He's getting himself a griller.
He wants no part of this show. None.
He shouldn't. But we need somebody to bring us up to speed. Because we suck right now.
What, Gary?
What is going on?
You
look at him.
To reference what I'm doing, Fred. You can talk about football.
Don't print it out because you don't want people getting those passwords. Uh-oh.
Shut up.
Andy's about to go online right now. You can't do that from work, guys.
No, gave us some editorializations, which is really nice.
All right.
Not that we can share any of them, but
508-543-7482 is the phone number.
For Christ, Craig, call back. Do
web radio at pages.com
anymore.
What happened?
How much money does this guy make if he runs all these sites?
I don't know, but I think Fred was going out in the hallway not to go to the bathroom, but to get something to drink.
I think
you're drunk.
I just think it's funny that the hub of online porn is in Manchester, New Hampshire. I always thought it was like L.A. or something.
Huh? Oh, maybe Vegas.
Huh? How about those socks, huh, Paul?
What is going on?
What is wrong with
you? Seriously, what is going on with you today?
Well, you guys don't help me out. You just sit there going,
hey, you're the host.
Stripper, do you have any affiliation with Spring Thomas? If so, send that one.
Who's Spring Thomas?
I think that's her name. There's one of them I like.
Sunset? Sunset Thomas?
No, it's not that. He'll know who it is.
Okay, Gary, let's take
a
break.
They're all really creeping me out.
Listeners all over the world are discovering PFW in progress.
Oh, my God. What the f*** is this?
Patriots.com radio.
It's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demulus Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hunger stands no chance against the new Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Supreme Omelette Egg with crisp, thicker-cut pepper bacon and Colby Jack cheese. Hurry in today for a whole lot of sizzle, because this irresistible combination of flavor won't be around forever. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. For a chance to win big, visit DunkinDonuts.com today to win great football prizes. Prizes include 42-inch plasma TVs, signed official game balls and JetBlue flights. And don't forget to try a Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. Price and participation may vary. No purchase necessary to enter to win. Offer valid 8/20 to 9/30. Must be 18 years or older to participate. Must be a U.S. citizen. Limited time offer. Visit DunkinDonuts.com for official rules and a chance to win.
You are doing.
All right, I have to apologize for the pace of the show thus far.
Yes, you do.
We've been off a little. I also apologize because Mike Felger's here now. But Mike, how you doing? Good. Is your mic on?
Thank you. How are you? Hello, hello.
Mr. Radio Professional.
How are you?
Got to turn the mic on.
He's got his own show, but can't.
Well, when you have your own show, you have people to do that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
Not ESPN Radio, you don't.
My bad.
Web radio at patriots.com.
Offensive over there.
So, Mike,
you guys still in business over there, Mike?
For now, this week. Today.
You look at Andy like you're all surprised. You know that's how every comment comes out. He chuckles at himself on every comment.
He's so demeaning towards 890. If it weren't for 890, I'd...
Supplementing his second home.
Would you hear him on anything other than the internet?
That's why I asked you if you're still in business, because without you, I'm done.
There you go.
So, Mike, how's your week been?
A little different than last week, huh?
Yeah.
I got a question for you, Fred.
Yeah.
I have a question for you all.
Ding, ding.
And have you delved into this? Because I haven't really. But when people say Belichick cheated, they got caught cheating. Were they cheating?
Well,
cheating.
Fred definitely thinks no.
Or just breaking a rule, or is there, you know, what's the difference?
I have yet to have anybody give me a logical explanation as to what the difference is between cheating and breaking a rule.
What's different than calling out line signals like the Jets apparently were doing against the Ravens? Why is that cheating? Why is one cheating and one not breaking a rule? I mean,
but if they call, if they throw a flag, is it then cheating?
Right. That's my question.
But so now you're calling cheating, you know, getting away with a pass interference.
Right.
But breaking
that's
an
not
on
cheating.
Rule,
not
or
cheating.
Breaking an on-field rule is different than breaking a operations type rule, I think. Cuz holding is a rule and
okay,
you
I know,
away
but
with holding.
But
well, that's
can, why
you
I
can
say,
like get your arm caught up and, you know, there's degrees of holding. There's degrees of pass interference. But when you call out a defensive signal or
thing.
No,
it's
you don't
still
do that
on-field
inadvertently.
Rule.
You can't say that that's an inadvertent penalty.
So you hold someone that's inadvertent?
Right. Within the
sometimes.
Course of play is one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, within the course of action.
You get beat coming off the edge, you reach out and hold the guy so he doesn't kill your quarterback. If they
degrees.
Don't call the penalty, then is that
but
cheating?
There's
no.
There's different degrees. I mean, they say that they could call holding on every play if they wanted to.
It's still not cheating.
You know, it I don't think it is cheating.
Was Belichick
that's the
cheating?
Point.
Yes.
Why?
Because it was
because
he was doing something he knew he shouldn't have been doing.
Right. And he knew that a lot of other people weren't doing, and he knew that the league was watching it. So he was cheating. If the Jets calling out the audibles for Baltimore, was that cheating?
No.
Why?
I think that's on the other side of the fine line between gamesmanship and in-game, the way the league works.
No, I think the league shouldn't let the Jets get away with that. I think that's nonsense and garbage. I think they should be throwing a flag every time they do it.
Yeah,
the
umpires,
the rule.
The umpires should be up there listening.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. I know you guys don't agree with me, but here's the thing that – troubles me about this. If Belichick wanted to cheat, why would he do it in plain view?
because he had always done it in plain view, and even when he got caught, they didn't punish him.
But, I mean...
I just don't understand that. Did. That's what I started off. I haven't had anybody give me a rational explanation as to why it's not cheating. So, I mean, I guess if you tell someone that you're going to rob them, you can rob them, and that's not against the law. I mean, I don't really understand.
It's their fault if they don't protect themselves against
it. Just because he was brazen about it doesn't mean it's not cheating.
And it wasn't just brazen. I mean, it was...
openly defiant.
Habitual. I mean, he got the memo. Apparently, the memo first went out in September of 06. His guy gets kicked off the field in Green Bay, then kicked out of the stadium in Green Bay, then Detroit tells him to stop twice.
But, you know,
then the Jets catch him in the first week of last year, Frank.
Mike,
then another
Mike,
memo goes out
Mike,
this year, and then he comes out in the first game of this year.
Mike,
it must have really helped him out for him to keep doing
it.
Do you know
how many times we've kicked out the opposing TV cameramen from our sideline?
I wouldn't know that, but that's interesting.
It happens a lot. We shoo them away. We have our security shoo them away. It happens almost every game.
Just like the Jets shooed the Patriots away in the past.
But they didn't just... Right. Exactly.
But this time they decided they've had enough.
This time they decided they had enough. But we do it a lot to other teams, too.
Fred, right. not
so
to...
So isn't that cheating?
Not to attack your character.
I don't know.
And not to cast aspersions on you in any way. But I think the information you're getting has a little bit of spin to it, a little bit of sugar to it.
Nah. I don't. It's not information. I've seen it happen.
You've seen it happen.
Is this like your talks with defensive coordinators?
I mean, I could read Mike Reese or I could listen to you. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
wow.
Wait.
If you want to spin me, go ahead.
Okay. After every game, we come up with a complete log of all the incidents of the game that involve our team security. So I have documented proof that we have asked other camera crews to get away from our bench.
So your camera, whoa, but are they
NFL films?
No, the team video crews.
But all access crews?
Yeah.
Or?
We don't know.
Oh, come on.
So that's B-Lo. Different.
We
that's
tell B-Lo. Them to get away.
That's different. Then.
It's the all
How
access
do you know?
Crew.
That's
different. This was a member of the video department, the football operations side.
But
not.
I don't know who they are. Neither do they.
Fred, be objective. If you think, if Belichick felt that there was an opposing coach taping his coaches, you think Bill would just let that go?
I think he assumes they are. I think he assumes every game his coaches are being filmed.
And you're saying he would just let him go on the sidelines. Just stay there.
That's my point.
So you
get
think
them
he,
away.
He lets the opposing coach.
He doesn't. They.
Fred, this isn't NFL films behind your bench with the audio mic. This is a guy on the other sideline.
No. Well, they can't stop that. You know, they haven't stopped that. But I'm talking about not NFL films crews, but guys that work for other teams. They have four guys watching our bench, and anyone comes near, they get them the hell out of there.
That's different. We're talking about someone.
But that's what I'm talking about happens.
Fred. We're talking about video department, football operations.
Well, I don't know who these guys are. They work for the other team.
If Bill knew that they're...
Plus, they show away everybody. They've hidden. They don't let network cameras
on the bench. Right. And why do you think they do that?
Because they know the other team's trying to cheat.
Because they assume that.
If you're...
But the other team is cheating.
Because they want no coverage of anything, though.
That's what I'm saying. The Patriots... assume the other team is trying to get an unfair advantage.
I think every team is. That's why you hide your signal.
Right, as long as we're all in agreement that that's cheating, then I have no problem with it.
So you're telling me that if Bill knew that the Jets' version of Matt Estrella was on the opposing sideline shooting Dean Pease and whoever, Pepper Johnson, that Bill would just say, go ahead.
He shoos him away. That's
unexcused.
It. Evidently.
No, you're saying your own bench. Talk about where
you mean across the field.
Yes, where Estrella was.
I don't think they would do that.
You don't think Bill would turn him into the league? Just say, go ahead.
No.
Shoot him.
No.
Go ahead.
I don't think he would turn him into the league.
Keep filming.
I think there's a lot.
Because you know, Fred, the Patriots and Jets, the Pats just let anything go. They don't act petty and, they don't get into petty sort of stupid lawsuits and grievances.
They don't file grievances
over players
over
and contracts.
Trading wide receivers.
No, that's not the Patriots. They just sort of live and let live, Fred. Absolutely.
Yeah,
you're right.
That's right.
You're right.
That's right, Mike. Keep it up.
They just live and let live.
Round three.
I mean, keep
Round
it up.
Round three,
so
baby.
So far, you're 0-4 ever.
Life.
Against the Patriots.
So
just keep it up. I mean, if you want to be branded the new Ron Borges, you're on a good track.
Right. How was I wrong? I'm not
you're
making
wrong
anything
about
up.
Everything you say about
you're
this
right.
Team.
The Patriots don't file grievances right. against the Jets. They just live and let live. They just let them go do it.
They file the grievance, possible tampering with Deion Branch.
So, but he wouldn't turn in the opposing team's photographer. But he would go after the Jets over Branch.
They never have.
Okay, that you know of. I think people tell you.
Oh, do you know differently?
No, but
oh,
I'm objective about it.
And then again, like last week, shut up.
Fred,
I could throw out that Mike Felger is a pedophile. So what?
All I know.
I mean, it's probably true, but I have no proof. But I can throw anything I want. So can you. You want to throw out crap? See if it sticks. Go ahead.
But isn't it just?
But it's just crap.
Isn't it just
it's
as irresponsible to say
ESPN
that they don't?
Radio saying, no, notice me. Somebody notice me. So, I have a fledgling radio show, and I need ratings. So I'm just gonna say anything that comes out of my ass. I'm just gonna say it.
So you're saying the Pats didn't file a grievance against the Jets for Deion Branch?
Yes, they did.
Or they just didn't tell you that this last round when they were spinning you around like a little dreidel.
I just said yes, they did.
Oh, okay. So I'm making that up for ratings, or did that not happen?
That's not what you just said.
No.
You were throwing out all this other
crap. That's exactly what I said.
We're going to lose Fred. They're going to give these guys their own show.
I am not Ted Sarandis.
We're out.
Well, Josh says that we're letting you get away with something, Mike.
Okay.
Because you're bringing up all this so that we don't talk to you about Randy Moss.
Okay.
The fact of how you were 1,000% wrong on Randy Moss, and that you never said he was playing like a dog or acting like a dog. You said he was a dog.
I said that for
you. You said he was a dog.
My producers at 890 have fun with their Photoshop audio machines, and they splice some things together. What I've said all along is that for 10 years we called him a dog. He didn't play in training camp, and why should we call him anything other than dog? That's
okay,
all.
So
I was just
as,
trying to be
as
consistent.
As long as you're saying you called him a dog.
I suppose.
Okay. This not that he was acting like a dog.
If I'm going to quote you accurately, he's a D-O-G dog, I think was the word you used.
Right. I never said it in that form, but it was close enough.
Yes,
I mean, I'll
did.
Take it. It's
you
fine.
Were on ESPN on TV. I saw you say it.
No, I said we've always called him a dog. Now he doesn't practice in training
you
camp, and suddenly we're not supposed to say he's not a dog.
Dog. That's what you said.
Just want to add that we had an emailer about Terrence McGee earlier. He is listed as questionable with a rib problem. So,
I'm not sure
if that's a new injury or not, but he is questionable for Sunday.
So you think the book is closed on Randy Moss? This is what we'll get the entire year? No problems? No issues?
No, I don't think the book is closed.
No problems.
I would never close the book on him.
But based on what I saw in the training camp, I wasn't nearly as concerned about things as you were. That's all I would
close
say.
Close the book.
I was just trying to be consistent.
If I wasn't there and didn't see him get hurt myself, I would have wondered. But I actually saw the injury. And, you know, I wasn't surprised that they erred on the side of caution and decided – this is meaningless stuff for a guy who's been around the league for 10 years. We'll wait till week one.
Felger, what problems is he going to cause?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying
the 14-2, they got the one seed in the playoff. Well, what's he going to do?
I never thought he was going to cause problems. The locker room's too strong.
Yeah, and they're winning. Well, that's the thing. Now, if Tom Brady goes down or something, yeah.
Think there's a small chance that if he is such a huge part of the offense and then isn't, he could be an issue.
I don't think that's going to happen either. I think someone eventually is going to whack him in the mouth, and he's not going to be the same player like has happened in the past, or he's going to have a hamstring problem again, and he's not going to be there from a physical, actual level.
He has a hamstring. He may get injured.
Right. That's all. I never said he couldn't have a couple good games. I didn't think he'd be off to a good start. I didn't think that at all. So
this fall that he threw had nothing to do with his sports, Hernery.
I think the production he's had so far, I think, has surprised everyone. Let's not beat up on Felger.
Yeah,
for that.
It's amazing what he's
I mean,
done.
Was anybody expecting 17 catches for
I'm just, Fred, I just
300 yards?
Fred, I just can't ball wash like you. It's not interesting to me. For me to think one way about a player for 10 straight years and then for him to come here and for me to just change my mind like everyone on EEI and everyone here, obviously, I just can't do it.
I never thought about that.
I never changed my mind.
It's not fun.
I thought he was a great player. I thought he was completely immature and unhappy at the Raiders.
See, I'll give you a guy that Corey Dillon, I never changed my mind on. I thought about him the whole time in Cincinnati one way, and when he came here, I thought about him the same exact way.
Good or bad?
Bad.
And
I didn't want him anywhere near the team that I rooted for.
You didn't think that first year
up.
He was good? You
he
guys
was phenomenal that year.
No, Paul was consistent.
But I didn't want him on the team.
As a person.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been a fan of Randy Moss.
You know
so all of a sudden he's wearing Patriots uniform.
You know
I'm supposed
Felger.
To be a fan of him?
You know me. The Cowboys just signed Tank Johnson. I say good. You know why? They get in some trouble. He's got the guns there for
him. He's consistent. Tom's consistent. I
Who
never
cares?
Liked Randy Moss. Why am I supposed to like him now? I'm not you, Fred. I can't do that.
But I never said I didn't like Randy Moss.
Well, fine. Okay.
You know,
fine.
So you know, don't put words in my mouth.
So you're saying that you didn't do shows here where you said a guy like that would never work on this?
No, I have absolutely not. In fact, we had shows where we said, "Let's go get him."
That's about 90% of Patriots fans.
We said it about
T.O.
We said it about T.O.
But not Randy Moss.
Not Randy Moss.
Wow, I hope they signed T.O.
We were very proactive in saying. See, that's what we need to catch him in one of these guys that he uses as an example, like a Pac-Man Jones.
Pac-Man Jones.
He's
got to
come in.
They got to sign one of those two guys.
You know how it works, Fred.
This is how it works. You ready? This is how it works.
Everyone.
For a week, Fred goes in like he goes in hiding. It's like seclusion. He's down. You should have seen him when the cheating thing first came out. Just down. No life to him. Just a limp. And then the emails start coming in, and the fans are really, really distraught, and they start beating. We had so many fans calling in, writing in, saying that they didn't want their tickets anymore, and this and that. And then it, that
actually,
goes.
That's not true.
That's not true. We didn't have fans saying they weren't going to go to games.
Nope.
Yes, we did.
Do you want me to go get them?
Because I read them.
Because I read about 10
read
of them
here, and I read them in
SPFW.
In fact, I documented this. We didn't have one fan call the ticket office to say, I want to read.
No, they wrote the SPFW.
We had an SPFW that said, this isn't your department, but do you know how I can go about getting a refund and turning my
tickets? And not one person did.
Obviously,
because
they did.
Because you can't.
Because they're all frauds.
Yes, you can.
You can get a refund for your tickets.
We'll take your tickets back if you don't want them anymore.
And you'll refund the money.
Yeah, you're no longer a season ticket holder.
Anyway. After that week goes by, right?
I don't think people would. The knee-jerk reaction.
Right, exactly. The fans go away, and Fred gets his, you know, he gets his spirits buoyed, and the fans rally around Freddie, and that's what Pac-Man Jones. He's going to return punts, baby.
And
he's dynamic back there. He can take it to the house anytime
he
touches it.
His little chat with Jonathan. He talked to Jonathan two or three times.
I don't want to take it to that level.
Fred, you deny any chats with Jonathan, right?
Thank you.
But twice, consecutive weeks, I left this radio show with what you tried to sell me, and Glenn Ordway was word for word saying the exact same thing.
And I laughed about that as well, but I can tell you what. I had no chance.
What's the common denominator between Glenn Ordway's views on the Patriots and Fred Kirsch's?
Same.
And Glenn? I'm available anytime. That's Andy Hart, Patriots.com.
Look, I know you guys have to work for your next job.
I wouldn't want to be on that show, that moron.
You can't.
Fred,
I've
completely hitched my wagon to you. I'm going nowhere.
Well, you're not doing a good job of it because you might be going somewhere.
I have no life, Fred.
Oh,
I'm going here. What's that now?
Look, I get an office?
You know, well, you know, that doesn't mean you're moving anywhere either.
Freddie just taking swipes all around the room.
Cutting us all down a notch.
I'll have Jason Dvorkin in there before you.
Hey.
Ken Flanders, what's all this talk about PFW? They're an opening?
So is it over, Fred?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
You think it's over? Yeah, I think it's over.
Because I don't think the league really wants to find out.
No.
And they didn't investigate. If they really want to investigate, they try and find former team employees, former stadium employees, former technical guys who've worked these games.
That is true.
And they'd investigate. They'd interview. They'd hire some of their security team to go out and actually track this stuff. It's not in the league's interest to look further because they have to look further for all the teams.
Right.
Well, not only that, but you might find something.
Well, they also have to look further for the marquee team, the team that's won 3 Super Bowls in recent memory.
The last thing they want is a tarnished. There's rumors out there.
You don't want
with
to
Super
find
Bowls,
anything.
And if you start having Super Bowls, that's the worst. The only thing could happen. That may happen is that there may be a media member who has some objectivity, Fred. At one point, maybe you had it or not. Who wants?
You're
going to
let him get away with this?
Well, you know, see the thing. It's just a joke.
Oh, okay.
Because he's a caricature of himself.
I was going to say you two have changed roles. You once had objectivity. Felger once had no objectivity when he was Bill's boy.
But now Felger's gone the other way.
Look at that.
Felger has no objectivity on the other side.
Is that out there?
Fred admits to it.
It's so not true. I've picked him to win the Super Bowl, but I can't look
at
everything.
That doesn't take objectivity.
Of course it does.
I'm talking about your views on the team.
My views on the team are positive, but that doesn't mean they're perfect. And your job as an analyst or a talking head is to talk about everything, good and bad.
And we do that here.
Right.
We do. There's a balance, Fred.
There might be someone out there with balls and talent as a journalist who untracks one of these things, and maybe there's a big story. They find a stadium employee that says, "Yeah, I jammed the signals in October of 2004. I did it a couple times. Bang!" Then the league once again will have to circle the wagons.
There might be.
I mean, that's the only way to prove it, don't you?
You do. What if it's a guy with just an axe to grind against Bill Belichick?
But can't you just say this though? If the league, and I totally agree with Freddie's assessment, if the league really wanted to find something, is it at all plausible that they took the tapes that they supposedly seized from the Patriots and destroyed them within what? 24, 48 hours?
Yeah. Well, if they were all the exact same tape.
Don't be afraid to look at them or anything.
Right. But if they're all the exact same
you might find something
on
there.
Coach, scoreboard.
But suppose
they don't want to see the Carolina Panthers practicing 3 days before Super Bowl 38. They don't want to see that one.
Well, I also don't think the team would turn that one over with the rest of them.
The team says, nope, we've been doing the exact same thing for 7 years.
But that's what I'm saying. They didn't look. I mean, I think that they handled it right because you don't want to open up a can of worms and it's only going to make your product look bad. But they didn't.
But what if it comes out in the media, like Felger says?
Then you got to deal with it on two levels because the issue's there and you didn't investigate it.
Right?
That's what they said.
I don't know, but why would they? Why wouldn't they just keep them in case they needed them down the road for something?
I don't know.
Good point by you, Tom Casale.
Makes for a better story.
I mean, there's been
they
some
don't have
people
an
that
extra room they can put tapes. They had a big bonfire on Park Avenue.
Some people have said that they haven't really destroyed them, and they just put that out there. I don't know what you know. I don't. People, some.
Some people in this building?
No, not anybody people. Of any consequence. No.
Andrew says, Jesus H. Christ, will you guys let this thing die? It's one of the most overblown stories of recent sports memory. I tuned in today specifically to hear Felger because I can't get his signal from his weak-ass station at work. And now I have to listen to more and more of this tabloid crap. This is possibly
Felger.
This is possibly the best team we've seen here and could become one of the best in the history of the league. Stop embarrassing yourself rehashing this dead story. You sound like a bunch of yentas. So let's let it go.
Yenta, you guys need a translation?
Yes, please.
I don't know what it means.
I know. Well, I couldn't give you a translation, but I know what it is.
It's a gossip.
Yeah. It's like Jewish women, right?
Old Jewish women.
Yeah.
And gossips.
You got that. Do you ever see Fitzy?
Love him.
Fred, in all seriousness.
I love him.
Do you love the thing that he did with Belichick?
Stop
picking on our coach.
So
it's the least funny thing I've ever seen.
I thought it was funny. So stupid.
Is he a professional comedian?
Yeah, he is.
I hope not.
Yeah. Do we have to eat kosher stuff?
He's posing as just a South Boston fan.
I know. I've seen it's good. I like it.
It's good stuff.
I agree.
Fred, seriously, do you have a stake in this guy's career?
Is he your son?
Like, how could you think that highly of this guy who's largely anonymous?
I just saw that one thing yesterday, and I thought it
was
funny.
But you're asking everybody. You're like,
you guys attacked me that, how could you like this?
So did the fans. But just fans hated it.
My God, if I just went by your guys' opinions, I'd walk around thinking life is miserable.
But that's the thing.
You guys hate everything.
Fred, that's the thing.
The fans hated it. You guys hate everything.
Fred, that's the thing. If it was just Tom and I, then I would agree with you. But it was one after another. You saw them one after another. That thing sucked. That thing sucked. That thing sucked. Well, I mean, it was like universal.
I thought it was funny.
10, 12, 15 emails in a row. That's the least funny thing I ever saw.
I got it from fans who said, you got to see this. It's hilarious.
I'll give you like one of those little spoofs. You say that we think everything is miserable. Remember when Florio had that stuff with the... with Kellen Winslow, when Winslow got in the motorcycle accident, that was some of the funniest spoof stuff I've ever seen.
The cartoon,
the Postons,
yeah, the Postons.
Oh, that was.
What do you mean? What do you mean? How am I doing?
That was racist. Those were bad.
Oh,
cartoons.
Come on.
Those were racist cartoons. Definitely.
Well, that's Paul. You know.
Right. Yeah.
Everett boy. You know.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the way they raise him. Yeah.
Craig in South
Paul,
Carolina.
Hug another tree.
You have been unusually hard on Donovan McNabb this week.
Right, exactly.
That's right. You did criticize
Paul's the Rush
two.
Limbaugh of PFW in progress.
Oh, McNabb does suck.
Yeah,
I don't think he's any good.
Well, I got him wrong this year.
I like how McNabb's defense was, they say I'm not accurate.
He's not.
Well, you're not.
You completed 60% of your passes once out of 8 years. Right.
But that's why he needs receivers, because he's not accurate.
Well, Kevin Curtis was wide open in the flat at the end of that game.
But
I don't care who that was.
You could take Tom Brady and put him with Caldwell
you
and
can't
Gaffney,
miss that throw.
And he would
can't
look good. But you take McNabb and put him with Caldwell and Gaffney, he's not going to look good. You need T.O. or Randy Moss on that team.
It's true.
Mike, I want to get your take.
What are you doing?
Reading emails. I want to get your take on Charlie Weiss. Is his career done?
No way. He got a 10-year contract, bro.
Is his career done? Because he's 0-3.
Does he go anywhere from Notre Dame?
Yes, of course he does. Absolutely.
His last stop, really?
Absolutely.
He's not going anywhere.
Get the f*** off the field!
All coaches get a second chance if they're any decent. I mean, most coaches get a second chance.
Is he decent?
Yeah.
So you're a Charlie Weiss fan?
Definitely.
Really?
I'm excited to be a head coach.
Now, why is that? I'm a little surprised.
Because I think it's easier to find, and easy is the wrong word, but there's more defensive geniuses than offensive geniuses. I think it's really hard to coach offense.
Is he an offensive genius?
At a high level, I do.
Really?
I think he is.
And we don't touch the mother.
Okay.
I do.
Fred, what do you think of Charlie Weiss?
You know what that means.
I think that...
Are you reading between the lines here?
John doesn't like him.
Are you reading between the lines?
I think that Charlie's ego... I think Charlie's ego gets in the way of being a good coach.
So you don't think he's a good coach? None of these guys have egos. You're right. Definitely. No
but
ego here.
I think
here.
His gets in the way of being a good coach.
So he's not a good coach?
He thinks he's
Until he
too,
comes back
he's
here.
Too,
can you give me an
he's
example
too involved of
that?
Involved of covering his own ass.
Can you give me an example
but why
of that?
Isn't
I don't
he
like
a good
the way
coach?
He handled the quarterback situation this year.
What was wrong with it?
He started that kid who apparently did well in training camp and all that enough to start the season. Then he has one bad game and he pulls him out for the freshman.
But what if he really didn't outplay that freshman but out of loyalty for the fact that he was a veteran.
Well,
he said,
not
you know
a
what?
Good coach.
The freshman was hurt, too. Clausen was injured going into the first game, you know.
I mean, isn't half
but
the game
in that
hurt? Isn't 80%
no,
of that
played a part in a
to
little,
come out the
But
next...
he was hurt at the end of spring practice.
No,
though.
I know.
But don't you think that there's a possibility that he thought it was very close and said, you know what? I don't know if the freshman's ready yet. I'll go with the veteran. I'm not sure he's the answer, and then you got your answer in 1 week.
Yeah, and I think he made the right move.
But is that way out of
to the young guy right away instead of waiting 4 more weeks?
I don't think that's way outside the box thinking. I think that's a common thing.
Well, this young guy doesn't seem that good either.
He has 2 seconds to throw the football, Fred. Come on.
Well, then he's not recruiting well.
Well, that's I was going to say, I mean, that game's 80%
recruiting. I mean, this is his team, right? At what point does he take responsibility for what's on the field?
He'll win this week.
Next year is entirely his team, but this year is
Michigan State undefeated.
How have they recruited, Tom?
Michigan State.
They're 14-point underdogs.
Shot at Bill's alma mater.
They're supposed to have recruited very well.
So all the good players are young.
Yes, they lost a ton of people off last year's
team. Like 9 starters on offense, right?
And they weren't that good last year. Their defense sucked last
year.
You even said that.
Yes, it does. It sucked, and it sucks again this year.
Okay.
And I'm not saying Charlie Weiss is a great coach. I'm just saying you can't take just these 3 games and say he can't coach. You got to give him a little bit more time.
Mike thinks he's a genius.
Maybe he is.
I think offensively he's very talented. And if you get through all the spinning that they're trying to do to you here, ask them how does he call plays on Sunday, they all say he's terrific.
And if he was the head coach here in 2 years, he'd be a genius again.
Right.
This tape would be the same thing as
this could be our Pac-Man. This could be our Pac-Man Jones tape if Bill decides, you know, after winning Super Bowls the next 2 years, you know what?
You know what it would be?
I've done enough. No. I'm stepping away. Hey, Charlie, you interested? Woohoo!
You know what it would be?
Offensive genius.
Paul, you know what it would be? He can't recruit. That's why he wasn't good at
college. He wasn't suited for the college game.
Yes, he's the anti-Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Let's see. Nick says, I tune into your radio shows because I'm out of the Pats market, but there is so much crap coming out of your show this time slot. It's hard to understand how you are a craft entity.
Felge, you're really dragging us down.
The yelling, the incoherence. I know you can tell me to go whatever. But today, especially, you guys sound worse than a junior high locker room. Is there no professional pride in this time slot?
Please don't judge us on today. It was the worst show we've ever done.
I say stop listening.
That's what I say. I'm with Tom. I usually get mad when Tom yells at all the listeners, but I'm with Tom on this one.
I mean,
today was the worst show we've ever done.
We're having fun.
Yeah,
it's not meant to be taken.
Everything that we say, to be honest with you, it ain't going to get much better. So
everything we say isn't meant to be taken with 100%. You know, seriousness. It's sports.
This week's fun.
It's entertaining.
Let me ask you a question. The fans hate you, right?
A lot, yeah.
But they want to know.
Does that bother you?
No, they want to know players will talk to you. And I said it's because the players don't hate Felger like the fans hate Felger. Is that true? Because
they do.
But they just know you're.
That's a good question, though. Do guys? Because you used to have a pretty good relationship with a lot of different guys, and it seems like you still do. Do any of them give you a hard time?
It's okay. I mean, there's guys who won't talk to me. I'm sure.
Seymour.
But Vrabel doesn't have a problem with you, right?
No,
and he hates everybody.
Hates a strong word.
Well,
it's a strong word.
He
doesn't hate everybody. He's got a lot of friends in the
media. No, I don't mean like. But if you, my point was, if he didn't like you, he wouldn't talk to you. Is what I mean. He would hate you.
Well. It's a good, I don't know, the guys who are on the show have to be. They're paid through the team. There's a deal with the team where they get something out of it. I don't know whether it's club seats or money or whatever. So, you know, if Matt Light, for free, would come down here every week to talk to me, no, he wouldn't, not once.
So no one would talk to you?
No, they have to pay people to talk to me, basically.
So but they don't like you.
But when you're in the locker room, you know, I don't know, that, well, after a game, I guess. When was the last time you were in the locker room?
If you're Jewish and white and a special teamer, you're pretty much my guy. If not, it's pretty much hit and miss.
Jewish, white, special
Josh Miller.
Teamer.
Basically.
Josh Miller.
That's it.
Okay.
Where is he now?
Actually, the punters I've always been good with. Lee Johnson.
Mormon,
very not Jewish, but what a guy. That was my boy.
So you got a very, very
eat kosher
small
stuff?
Group of people that you
Who?
Can pull from.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
the punters.
Yeah.
Who was the guy?
Lee Johnson.
Yeah, but you said Mormon?
Oh, yeah.
He's a Mormon, not
Brian. Oh, a Mormon. Right, okay, right. I see what you're saying. I thought you were talking about Brian Mormon.
No.
What, punter? Oh, is that so outrageous?
I thought that's what he meant, too.
Paul thought he said more man.
Is the colonel's underwear a matter of national security?
But see, Seymour is someone who needs to get his ass kissed. I mean, he's just that way. That's why Borges is perfect for him.
I like Seymour.
Because Borges will attach himself to the bottom of his sack and just sort of hang there like swinging from
a
tree.
You are leaving no stone unturned in the media today, my friend.
Wow. A couple more on his show, he says, you can't say that. It's ESPN. I said masturbation once, and he almost fired me. And now he's hanging from people's sacks.
You can't say masturbation?
Of course you can.
But ESPN's a little, I agree with Felge on that. They're a little milk toast.
A little? Boy, let's go hire
Mike. We work for the team.
Let's hire Mike Tirico. Wow, that'll piss a lot of people. He'll really push the buttons. Woo! The controversy. Wow.
That's a shot at Reese, Borges, and Mike Tirico in about 5 minutes.
What a personality he is.
Anybody in the media that you actually like and think does a good job?
Overflowing with personality, Mike Tirico. Woof! Is he going to push the buttons?
Mike Tirico's fine. What are you taking shots at him for?
He is just so boring.
I mean, those ESPN shows are pretty dull.
Yes, thank you.
I mean the network shows.
Yes.
No offense
right.
to the present company excluded.
Dave from the Philippines says, how many worse shows are you going to have this year? Maybe you could try to do better. It's not like the team isn't good enough to talk about.
It's a tough week. It's a tough week.
See, here's one thing that I think that people lose sight of. People think it's very easy to talk about this team because they're so good.
Just the opposite.
A really, really good team and a really, really bad team are not easy to talk about. It's the teams that kind of ride the middle, and you have some peaks and valleys, and you don't know which direction it's going to go. When you know they're going to win or you know they're going to lose, it makes for kind of dull radio.
All right, well, that'll be it.
We'll wrap it up.
Andy Hart thinks there's a 25% chance you go 16-0, 33% chance. Would you say that?
Oh, Andy and I are on the 16-0 bandwagon. You didn't know this?
No. I forgot what the percentage was, but it's growing by the day.
We're going
hot and heavy. I see that locker room in there today where those guys are
playing basketball.
They can be beat by anybody.
I think they're smoking dope.
Well, that may be true, too, but
I think
it's a side issue.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, why hold that against anybody?
What are you people?
I think they're
on dope.
I think if they don't go 16-0, it's by choice.
What was the locker room like today?
Loose as can be. The free throw contest, the little game they play, and just Will Fork jerseys because Miami beat A&M last night, so Yates. And it's just, it's a whole new world in there where it's all happy-go-lucky fun. It is. I mean, I thought this was business one practice at a time, and they're just now like...
Brady was business.
Well, yeah, he had his music on.
That clubhouse lawyer is not here anymore. Willie McGinnis is coming in to stop them from doing that kind of nonsense.
Good or bad?
No, it's good.
That he's not here or bad?
Yes, it's good that he's not here.
But
most
is there
overrated?
You know that I have a view that
Patriots.
There is a new vibe in that locker room, a new youthful confidence from playmakers and all that. Some of these new guys.
I think there's a youthful. I think there's definitely a youthful cockiness, but I think that the tomfoolery, especially on Fridays, has been
is number
constant.
80, is 81 right?
Was he even there?
Oh yeah,
he was
chiming in from the side.
Usually the receivers are usually involved, but he's not usually involved.
Stallworth, Gaffney are the guys who had it.
Stallworth and
Gaffney
are always
actually
playing.
Put the line on the floor and set the game up.
Yeah, and evidently today Welker was involved.
Welker
and
involved
Moss was
today.
There too. I just think they're pretty
loose.
On Fridays it seems like they know that they have the game plan. They know it's a good one, and they're just like waiting for Sunday. And I've noticed that like the last 6 years.
So,
I don't think with the consistency, because I always used to remember some were, some weren't. Now I feel like it's every
week. When Bethel
week.
Johnson's well, playing baseball
weeks,
with the tape.
There were those Fridays when like something wasn't going right and nobody was there.
Right. Now they, I think
oh, well, that's,
it's loose
that's
and
when
loud
they're hiding. That's just hiding.
Yeah. Loose, loud, and having fun.
And that's all good?
Yeah.
We'll be on Sunday.
Till they lose.
Then I'll rip it and say they were too loose on Friday.
That's how he rolls, baby.
Right.
No, I think it's good.
And
I think
he'll chuckle as he's saying it.
I think it's a team that's more fun to watch.
I mean, see, the trick is...
The business-like approach is not fun.
I
find no fun in that. I want guys that talk. I want guys that make big plays, that think they're going to make big plays.
See, people think if you talk, that means you have to be outrageous. They don't have to They don't have to say dumb things.
No, just... Treat it like a game. It's a game.
I like the guys who treat it like a business. Treat it like
white
a...
White Jewish punters.
Like a job. No, but just, you know, I mean, Ronnie Harrison ain't grab-assing in there. You know what I mean? I like guys who treat it like a profession and are adults.
So Ronnie Harrison is our epitome of what we're looking for.
Yeah,
just let me clear that
it's
up.
It's a good point. I mean, he jumped into my head, but there's a lot of guys like that.
But you don't like the guy...
I definitely win the long ball drive today.
The cornerback, wide receiver mentality. The guy who knows he's good, who walks like he's good, talks like he's good,
well,
and then goes out and makes plays.
I'll tell you what, cornerbacks have to feel that way.
Right, but I think receivers do.
They
offensive
bug me.
Play
receivers
make, Maroney
bug
clearly
me.
Has
well,
it.
I don't like. See, I don't.
Let
right,
me talk to some.
I hate
players,
to break so. This up, but Mike's got to do some interviews.
Speaking
so that'll be it for us. We'll see you on Tuesday. Goodbye.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Woo!
Testing, testing.
Three. You ready? In three. Three, two, and welcome back to Gillette Stadium and the Mike Felger Show, 890 ESPN Patriots Friday. Let's get into it with some of our fellows right here. Benjamin Watson, Patriots tight end. Matt Light, Patriots left tackle, joining me. It's a little twofer here. How you boys doing?
Great.
Great.
Guys, have a, guys have a good week?
Yeah, had a good week. Good week.
A little bit of a letdown? Be honest. A little bit of a letdown?
What?
Just this week.
This week?
Last week was wild between all the video
game,
stuff.
Right?
I'm talking about the matchup. I'm talking about everything. Last week was wild. This week, yeah.
Last week was wild. Last week was wild. It was fun. It was a great game. The fans were great. But it moves on. You know, it's week to week. We got another game. We got to get the same outcome.
Yeah, unlike you, we don't have time to sit down and think about what happened last week.
I don't believe you.
We move forward and have to tackle getting ready for another big game and an opponent coming into our stadium and defending, you know, our home turf.
See,
so
we are moving on.
Yeah, we
right?
don't sit and think there about what's happened. We come into work Wednesday, and it's work day.
Did that game last week mean as much as any other game to you?
Well, I mean, obviously it was a huge game for us, but, you know, they're all like that. I mean, how do you put,
they're not all
how,
like
how
that.
Do you put more on one
which
game
win,
and do the next one?
Michael, which win at this stage is more important, the win last week or a win this week?
Last week.
Why?
Because of all the things swirling around the team. One of your, as your guys have said, Mike Vrabel said, quote unquote, one of your family members was attacked, being Bill Belichick, and it was a time when everyone's watching and how do you respond? And that's sort of a, what are you made of kind of game. That's
we wanted to win. We wanted to win, and when we went out there and executed a game plan that we worked on all week, we put ourselves in a position to do that, and we did it. So, you know, that's the bottom line. We wanted to win that game. Were there other things going on in the background? Of course. But, hey, look, we're trying to win every single game we can, and I don't see how you can put any more importance on – you know, if we did go out and lose this game, what would y'all say?
Right.
You know what I mean? So – is there not a ton of weight on every single week that we have in this league?
In the standings?
And then when you look at it from this perspective, you know, this is a league game, obviously, you know, a division game. So it carries that much more importance, you know, as far as you know, later in the season, those implications.
Benjamin, Matt, guys were calling you all cheaters last week. Did that not reach you?
We moved on, right?
Indulge me.
No, I'm just telling you, we moved on. I mean, hey, you can talk about something if that's what you're really interested in. I don't think anybody in that locker room is interested in anything that happened, you know, last week.
I won't tell Bill.
Yeah, well, you don't have to tell him anything. We've all moved on.
Put yourself back last week. I know you've moved on to the Bills. I mean, Robert Kraft comes into the locker room and gives Bill a game ball. How often does that happen?
Happens every now and then. You know, just I think Mr. Kraft just felt like it was – I mean, it was a good win for us, and, you know, like you said, we went through a lot, you know, last week. But, you know, last week is last week. You know, last week is old news, and that really has no bearing on what's going to happen on Sunday.
Real quick, on the field against the Chargers, Ben, you thought maybe they might have covered you, just like a little? I mean, on that touchdown, it's like, is anyone going to even try? I was stunned to see how they defended you guys in the passing game. Randy Moss walks out into the slot, and no one walks out with him. They're like, okay, let's not cover Randy Moss. He's not very good. Ben Watson goes out wide open in the end zone. Let's not cover him either. Let's just take our chances doing it that way.
Well, I was definitely happy to get the ball on that. You know, Tom made a great read, and, you know, it was open. But, I mean, that again, you know, that was last week, and I'm sure we're going to try to make some more plays this week.
Matthew, what was it like playing Sean Merriman again?
I mean, you know, that Chargers defense is really good at what they do, and they're getting upfield, and you know, they made some plays. But, you know, I think what we did was we executed, you know pretty well. We obviously got to a great start, and that goes a long way in setting up everything. So,
yeah.
Do you think the offensive line is starting to build some week-to-week consistency? I think that was an issue last year.
Well, we're 2 weeks into it, so I think that we did build, you know, a little bit on what happened in week one. And I think that, you know, what we did out there last week was good. I think there were some things that we definitely need to improve on, and I think that, you know, overall our communication is really good. You know, we obviously have guys that, you know each other on that line. So if we can just keep communicating and working well together, we're gonna do all right this year.
When you guys hear people in the media around the country start saying 16-0 about you, what do you say?
We say it's week two, and that's really funny. I mean, I don't even know if there's ever been any teams that I think there's one team to do that, and that's definitely not our focus. I mean, it's still early, very early. You know, we've only been playing for about 10 weeks now, you know, including training camp, so we've still got a long way to go. You know, our main goal and focus is Buffalo.
Matthew, 16-0?
Yeah, well. Silly.
Silly. Yeah.
No, hey, look, you know, you got to talk about something, right? So I guess that's the natural path to go at that level, you know, when they're speaking about things. But, you know, for us, you know, just like Ben said, hey, you know, it is such a tough thing. If you look at how this, you know, the league's set up, and I mean, and you look at our schedule and you look at all these other teams' schedule, you can't talk about anything week two. You know, you can't talk about much, you know, halfway through. So many things change, and so many of these teams that you see now that, you know, might have it all going great for them, it could crumble in a hurry. So that's why you stay focused and you do what you have to do, and you go to work every day.
And there's so many variables, stuff you can't control, like injuries, you know, stuff that just happens, you know, in the course of a football season. That's just ridiculous to even think about at this point.
Ben Watson, Matt Light here on Mike Felger Show, 890 ESPN in Gillette Stadium on Patriots Friday. Aaron Schoble, at least he's not very good, Matt. Nothing to worry about this week.
Yeah, well, you watch a lot of film, and I'm sure that you can see what he does for that defense and you know, the style in which they play. And they're all really well coached, and they all play, you know, extremely hard, and they all finish. So, you know, and those are things I think that, you know, we've been saying about Buffalo for a while now. You know, they're the guys that, you know, compete at 100 mile an hour, and you can't take anything for granted. You can't let off, you know, for a second. You got to finish plays, and you got to get a hat on a hat, which, you know, these guys are upfield type rushers, and they're pretty quick, and they're good at what they do.
How is Aaron different than some of the other speed rushers that you face?
Well, I mean,
who would you compare him to?
He's got a different body type than, you know, the Jason Taylor, you know, kind of has, you know, Jason has a lot of speed, obviously. He's very dangerous when you're trying to just, you know, block him one-on-one. And I think Schoble has a lot of that, too. You know, you put him out there on a guy, and he's one-on-one with him, and he can use that speed up the field. And, you know, he's got counter moves off that. And he's a dangerous kind of guy because he can come in the back door, too. Even if he runs clear past the quarterback, he can turn the edge, and he's good at doing that. So I don't really compare him to too many other people. I mean, I've obviously faced him now for going on 7 seasons. And, you know, he's one of those guys just like JT that, you know, he improves each year. So, yeah, he's gonna be bringing a full load to this game, I promise you.
Does Belichick show you film of the first play from last year, just to get your attention?
I think we might have seen it. Yeah, I'm a couple hundred times.
Now, since this is over a year ago, Matt, can you tell me what happened there?
Well, I mean, it just they made a play, man. You know, I mean, they
Spikes rushed and no one blocked.
They there you go. That's not a good thing.
I could see that. What actually? Who was supposed to get him?
That's not a good thing.
Who was supposed to get him?
I'll put that on me. You know, I mean, I should have squeezed him and blocked him, but that's, you know,
that's last year.
You're gonna have that. You're gonna have that.
We're moving on, right?
No, you see, no.
We're moving on.
That's the trick you guys play. That's what Belichick does. That's what you guys do.
What are you saying about Bill?
You go to the past when it benefits you. When Bill can use something from the past to get you going this week,
for example,
then a year ago is relevant. He'll show you that play, the sack from Takeo Spikes and the strip sack and whatnot. He'll use that to get your attention, even though that's 13 months ago. But if it's a positive thing or something that he doesn't want, it's in the past and we're not even going
He
there.
Didn't show well, you I mean, that it, clip, though.
Is
that,
but is I know it, what he's doing.
He didn't show
I
you
know,
the clip?
I know.
So it's not a trick
you. Is that
you?
His job? I mean, do you want people patting you on the back every time you – you know, have a great show, or do you want somebody to be honest with you and tell you how it is?
I take a little pat every once in a while.
Yeah,
a little something, you know.
Hey, look, I promise you, every guy in that locker room has, you know, 100 family members, friends, and acquaintances that will pat him on the back. His job is to get us ready and prepared to play each week, and that's what he does.
Ben, what are these division games like? It seems 17 points in Vegas. It seems like these games are never like that, no matter what the disparity is in talent or coaching. They always are sort of back and forth affairs. Is that just the familiarity between the teams?
They're always intense. You know, this is just my fourth season, but every division game we play is always intense. It always goes down to the wire. You know, guys play hard no matter what the score is. And, you know, you got to come ready. You know, you got to come ready because, you know, each play is important.
Do you feel that when you're out there that there is no one, I don't know, stealing signs or anything is going on, but there is more knowledge of what you're doing and trying to do?
There is, because we're familiar with each other. You know, we play each other twice a year, so there's a certain familiarity with both teams. So that also leads to more strategy, trying to you know, I guess, so to speak, fool the other team when we know so much about each other. You know, a lot of times just comes down to execution and who's better on that day.
Sunday, 1 o'clock, everyone always tells me you guys like that. You prefer that. Why? As opposed to Sunday night or a Monday night game or even those 4 o'clock games. What about Sunday at 1 that you like so much?
Well, I mean, I'm not really sure why that is. I mean, I think each guy probably, you know, has a little different reason for why they like to go a little early. I'm sure probably not everybody likes going early, but, you know, I think for me it's the fact that, you know, you're preparing all week and you have this schedule, and, you know, we usually go out and practice around that time. Your body clock's kind of on that time. And when you wake up on game day, you kind of like to take that focus and that, you know, that intensity and everything else that you've been building up all week and just apply that right when you get up, get the ball rolling, mm-hmm. and get going. When you have a game that's a 4 o'clock or, you know, hey, those 8:30s.
What do you do on an 8:30 game? Like last Sunday,
You're going to go home. You're going to spend some time. And, you know, and there's plenty of distractions, you know, especially if you have a family, you got friends in town,
go home?
Everything else.
I mean, excuse me for asking. I know the team stays at a local hotel here on Saturday nights, even before home games. But if it's at 8:30, then do you wake up in the hotel and go home?
Yeah, well, we have a routine that we go through, of course. And I'm not saying that everybody does it that way. But, you know, I think there's a fair amount of guys that will definitely go home and just kind of hang out for the day, and then, you know, a lot of times you come in early too. You know, it's you're gonna get in here early enough to do what you got to do and get ready for the game.
And also, it's like Christmas. You know, when you were a little kid, you remember you wake up like 12:01 a.m. and you want to open your presents. You know, who wants to wait all day? What if your parents said no, you can't open your presents till 8 o'clock at night? So you wake up on game day, you're ready to go.
Do you guys nap?
I try to, but sometimes I'm just too wound up, and I'm just, you know, you can't sleep because I'm thinking about the game.
I covered hockey one year, and those hockey guys in the NHL, their routine is they wake up at 10 a.m. They have something called a morning skate. It's a cutesy little thing. They just go to the rink, put on the skates, and skate around a little bit. They go home. They have lunch. They nap, and then they wake up and go to the game. Every day, same thing, midday nap like my 3-year-old daughter.
Not a bad idea. I mean,
it's pretty good.
I think we'd all probably try to do that during the day if we had a chance. Yeah.
What do you do when you're so geeked up for a game the next day and you can't sleep? Don't you have to sleep? What if you get a crappy night's sleep before a game?
It's like, you know, it's not most of these guys, unless you're a rookie, it's not your first rodeo. You've been out there. You've done it before. So, you know, and I tell you what, that's why I think having a great week of practice is also important. Just for that, you know, I mean, think about it. If you have a lot of worries – the night before a game, mm-hmm. you haven't done probably enough throughout the week to get yourself prepared. So hopefully you're sleeping well.
There's also Ambien. That works.
Yeah, there is.
Benjamin Watson, Matt Light, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, thank you.
Okay.